Welcome to Geeks On, a show created by geeks for geeks, covering topics that geeks like to talk about. This week, it's Geeks On Catch-Up episode and Mailbag. For more information and news we talk about in the show, go to our website at www.geeksOn.com.
Hey!
Woo-hoo!
Hello, my geek geeks!
It is the full Geeks On contingent.
The very full Geeks On contingent.
Should we introduce ourselves? Yeah. Go, Don.
Hi, my name is Don. I am a video game professional and writer here in sunny Hollywood, and I am a geek.
And I am Aaron Hendricks, and I'm a graphic designer here in Los Angeles, and I am a geek.
My name is Matt King. I'm an actor here in Los Angeles, and I am a geek.
Lisa Lasik, editor here in Los Angeles, giant geek.
Pete Robinson, a screenwriter here in Los Angeles, and I am a geek.
And new dad of twins!
New dad of twins!
Congratulations, Peter.
Congratulations.
New exhausted dad of twins.
We would expect no less.
6.5-week-old twins, a boy and a girl. Whoa. Jack and Kate.
Named after Lost.
No, actually, we picked the names, and then someone pointed out, like, you know, about a month after we'd kind of, like, gotten attached to him, that there was a Lost connection, and we're like, oh, no.
But it's okay. It's not like the younger on the show.
We did mention Luke and Leia on our last episode of Geeks On.
We did.
They're young enough. You can switch it up.
We did dress them up as Luke and Leia for Halloween.
Do you have pictures?
We do.
Oh, excellent.
Was there making out?
We used
uncomfortable making out.
Yeah, there
was. You're 6 weeks old.
They were sucking on the same pacifier. Let's just say.
Oh my.
So no, what we did was someone had already kind of given us a onesie drawn, and it said Jedi in training. And then with her, we took pantyhose and made little buns around her head.
Oh, adorable.
Cute.
It was pretty funny.
I want to see the pictures.
I'll show some pictures.
Maybe we can post one.
Maybe we can. We were going to go as tired parents. This is funny.
They were too tired.
But we were too tired. And we actually didn't even go out anywhere. We were going to go to Aaron's party, which I hear was, like, insane.
It was crazy.
That's what I hear.
He had party crashers. You want to talk about some of your party crashers?
We had Chippendale dancers show up in a big van.
No, wait. Okay, now, these were not friends.
A white van pulled up, doors open, probably about 8 Chippendale guys, no shirts, ran into the house, run through all the rooms, and then stop in the living room, drop trowel, dance a little bit, and then jump back in the van and take off in the middle of the party with like 40.
I mean, isn't that a good way to get shot?
I'm really bitter I left early.
I know, I missed it.
Really, really bitter. Really, really bitter.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, Michin came in and goes, who are they? They were awesome. I had to pay $200 for that. She's like, really?
Best party host ever.
So, big catch-up episode.
Huge catch-up episode.
Enormous. We're not going to be as serious as last time.
We've had kind of a streak of serious lately, haven't we?
Well, the forums have been blinking with people commenting on the serious, so
yes.
Ain't no problem with that.
So there will be nothing to comment this time because it's all fluff.
No, well, people
want to comment on our comments.
People have been commenting on our comments, and sure. As you will see in the mailbag.
But so how, we might actually have to do a mailbag episode for the mailbag episode?
That's one of the things we're doing. It's like Inception.
But we're going on one more level.
One more level down.
What do you mean you're doing a mailbag episode on the mailbag episode where you did a mailbag episode on the mailbag episode?
Well, by the way, we never even talked about Inception.
We will.
No, really?
No, we never even mentioned it.
Have you guys seen the a cappella Inception trailer?
No.
Oh, it's so genius. It's literally guys going, bam! Like you were doing, but they do the music, like, perfectly.
Oh, I want to see
it. Oh,
this.
You have to see
it's
it.
It's acapella?
Great. Yeah.
Well, I love it.
I think we're going to skip news, and just talk about...
Essentially, our geek weeks will roll into our geek
summer,
last 4 months.
Yes.
Last 4 months.
There's lots of stuff to talk about. Well, we just were specific on a lot of things and just, you know...
We got mail to cover.
So let's get started.
Let's do this.
Who wants this? What do we want to talk about first? I actually want to bring up one thing.
Okay.
Because it's a iPhone game that's relatively old now.
Angry Birds.
No.
Plants vs. Zombies.
No. This is the game that all my friends have been playing 24 hours a day. It's the game on the iPhone, I think, with most of the people in this room Carcassonne.
Oh, well, Carcassonne. Yes, Carcassonne. Yeah, okay. I live for Carcassonne.
So Carcassonne, we've talked about in the past.
I forget that I'm playing.
It's a board game, tile-laying game that came out years and years ago, German game.
Great board game.
Anyway, so they decided to make a iPhone app out of this German board game. Now, they've done it to other board games before, but I'm telling you, this is the one they did correctly.
Yeah.
It's really well done.
They really do good scoring.
The tiles are identical to the board game.
Yeah, it looks exactly like the board game, but the online experience is perfect on this game. You can take your turn, then log off, then the next person can take their turn when they need to.
Yeah.
It updates quickly. It sends you little messages if you want it to say it's your turn. It's done right. I don't know why all the other board games, none of them have this type of...
The only downside is the push notification. If you leave the sound on your iPhone, you'll be sitting around chatting with someone, and suddenly your pants will say, it's your turn now.
It says that. Okay. See, I never did the push.
There's actually another game that does the same thing, and it's pretty good. It's called Samurai.
Sure that was the push notification in the game?
Oh, dear. I really must check my pants more often.
There's a Reiner Knizia game called Samurai, which is also great on there. When it's your turn, a big tring! Sword coming out of its sheath sound comes out of your pants. So, yeah, a little even more embarrassing.
It's amazing all the things popping out of people's pants.
And it's crazy.
But this game, I suggest it to anybody.
Everyone.
It's great. But it's really only fun if you have other people to play with. I do not think that the single player game is...
The single player game apparently is a totally different game.
Yeah, it is.
I haven't even
It's like
tried
a puzzle
it.
In a way.
Yeah.
Another iPhone app that I don't think I've talked to any of you about except for Peter is High Noon. Have you guys seen this?
Mm-mm.
It is a Western shootout iPhone app where basically you'll see like a list of cowboys that you can challenge, and then you challenge them, and when they accept the challenge, the screen goes blank and you just hear and you have to put down the phone at your side and wait for the church bells to chime. When the church bells chime, you whip up the phone and you have to find the guy in your viewer and then shoot him by tapping the screen. And you have different weapons. Like if you're using the rifle, you have fewer shots, but you do more damage and it's a little harder to hit them. If you're using the six shooter, it's easier to hit them, but you do less damage, but you get six shots. If you don't – and then they're moving around too. So if you don't actually take them out before you run out of bullets, you have to dip your iPhone down and reload the gun while the guy's shooting at you.
That's pretty cool.
You have to
gun.
Manually reload it by touching the holes in the gun to put the bullets in.
You're being shot at the whole time.
The only thing you don't do is sort of dodge, and the dodging is done automatically for you. But when you're trying to shoot them, it feels really weird, really real.
That's fun.
You can't cheat. Like, you actually have to hold it down and then raise it up.
Yes. Otherwise, it just says, you know, we're waiting. We're waiting for you.
The harder you got to get down in the street.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
All right. That sounds good.
I've been playing SKOB, Super KO Boxing. Which is a wonderful, wonderful Mike Tyson's Punch-Out ripoff.
Oh, nice.
It is dead-on Mike Tyson's Punch-Out ripoff, straight up.
Nice.
But he's actually a big, old, fat redneck. And you can actually play challenge levels where everybody changes. So in the challenge level, he changes into a big, old, fat, redneck cop.
This is
an iPhone app?
And you just tap where you want to hit?
Tap where you want to hit, and you can play. Actually, it has different controller setups, same sort of big power-up hits. Everybody has different patterns. It's also one of the most incredibly racist games I've ever seen in my life.
Which is why you love it.
Which is why I absolutely adore it, because they are merciless to everyone. I mean, the American Indian boxer you box against. So, I mean, he's got a tear running down his face, right? Yeah. I mean, he's got a gigantic nose and the headdress, and it's crazy.
So nobody gets off.
Nobody gets off free.
So it's not
game.
Racist. It's just
universally offensive. And hilarious, and it's really, really fun. But I mean, they're all picking on cavemen too. So I mean, you know
what.
Yeah, I know.
That's not appropriate. That is not appropriate.
Yeah, I mean,
but I actually thought it was, because I loved Mike Tyson's Punch-Out back in the day, and I must have played that game as much as Don plays Left 4 Dead.
Did you play the new one?
Not possible.
Did you play the new one?
Yeah. I did. But this one is my
satisfies the itch.
Totally satisfies the itch.
Huh.
Anybody else iPhone apps?
The Battle for Westnoth. And this is a turn-based strategy game.
Ooh, my favorite kind.
That you can play as an exhausted father.
As an exhausted, it's great. This is one of the coolest games. I've been waiting for a game like this on the iPhone for a long, long time.
Wait, is it like...
Is it like what?
Oh! It's like a turn-based strategy game.
Yeah, where you have your knights and your elves and your mermen, and you're fighting against undead zombies and stuff.
Can you play with other players?
I think you can play with other players
because it's turn-based.
Because it's turn-based, but I have not done that yet. It's got a really long campaign, incredibly long campaign.
Hmm.
This thing is really fun. It's only $1.
Oh, wow. 99 cents. What's it called again?
The Battle for Westnoth.
All right. In other words,
I've been playing Carcassonne nonstop with them, and as soon as I got this, have you noticed I've sort of slowed
down? Yeah, I was like, where'd you go?
No, that's what happened.
Yeah.
It takes 30 seconds for you to do a damn turn.
Yeah, really. Well,
the problem, though, is that like you, when you finish a turn, you know, you. I'm not going to get into it.
I will definitely get that. Uh-huh. I've been looking for something like that. I used to play Advance Wars on the DS, and that was how I got my real-time strategy.
There's a couple games
kind
of like Advance Wars on the iPhone.
Oh, really?
Yeah. By the way, rewinding to your Carcassonne thing, I found out why German board games are so rife.
Like why ridiculous. The Germans are doing it over other people.
Why are they
There's a government subsidy that they put out specifically for non-violent games. If you can put out a non-violent game, you will get a government subsidy. And
so that's why it's all about trading goods?
Well, actually, I believe you get an even bigger subsidy if it's a cooperative game, which is where the inception of cooperative games, they said, we can now do this and get some money from it. And everybody was like, oh, well, now I can make an even better cooperative game. And that's where it all fell out.
It doesn't sound like – I know I'm sounding very against my own country – but that doesn't really seem like an American concept. You know,
but the thing is the last – this is the year of the American game now.
Yeah.
From like some of the best games that are coming out are now American games.
What are they? What are the new
– Well, one thing I wanted – I cannot wait because it comes out this year and we are playing the moment it comes into my house, the Civilization board game. Have you seen this thing?
Oh, can't wait.
It is awesome. It looks just like
the video game.
Wow. You sit down tiles. Everyone has their starting tile, which has got land and sea – But you have the tech tree, you have, looks like the game.
Maybe I'll like it more than I like Civilization.
The new Battlestar Galactica expansion comes out, which sounds fantastic.
It does sound fantastic.
It sounds fantastic.
It sounds like it could even be better than the last expansion, which only was kind of hit or miss for me.
What's always interesting
they have some new concepts in, like, loyalty cards.
Really?
So it's like the final five, right? So instead of – I think my understanding is if somebody checks your loyalty card and you're one of the final five, it hurts them. It hurts the person who checked it.
And they have these –
so that makes you not less – you know, you don't want to just go and check it.
Exactly.
Really,
and there's the other things that introduced. There are people receive cards that make them have to perform some tasks secretly, even if you're human, that makes you look guilty.
Oh, no.
If you don't do it, at the end of the game, it counts against, like, some of the supplies, like food or morale and stuff, and you might lose the game if you don't complete the task. So it causes more suspicion in the game.
Right.
Which, by the way, has not been needed in my last couple games.
The last game.
We are very vehement about our suspicions.
The last game I played, the probably third turn in the game, mainly because one of the new players messed up. And you know where everyone throws in cards to solve a crisis? A hidden traitor will throw in cards that make to try to sabotage it. Well, there were no Cylons apparently at the time, but he mistakenly threw in a incorrect card, I were the only two to put in cards. So everybody was sure it was one of us two, and they blamed me.
And they picked you.
So third turn, they put me in the prison, in jail. The entire game, I was in there. A five-hour game. I was in that prison for 5 hours.
Oh my god, that's really
they weird. Were not convinced, and I was not. I was never the Cylon. The entire
but what's,
game.
What's weird is that if you were really the Cylon, you would have just committed suicide.
Well,
you can't commit suicide in the prison.
No, you can. You just don't get your special ability.
Right. And two of the there were half the game was people who had never played before, so they didn't realize that if I were really a Cylon, I was screwing up the game. But the other two Cylons knew that I wasn't it.
Right.
And they were convincing the newbies, like, well, it isn't that crazy to be in jail.
Oh,
they had convinced them
totally
that it was a bad
moves.
Strategy. So like, I was like, so I knew who it was because they I saw them.
You were in jail.
That's not
I
fair.
Also got to play the new Arkham Horror expansion over Halloween.
What is that called?
I actually don't recall.
Okay.
I feel bad. But the reason why I wanted to bring it up is because they brought up a new concept that I thought was fantastic for co-op board gaming, which was relationships, right?
Yeah.
So what happened was they laid down a card between each pair of players, right? And then you flip over that card. And that card is an ability that those two characters share because of their relationship. So either one of them can use that ability, but if one of them uses it, the other can't, right? And if either of those characters actually get devoured over the course of the game, then both of those abilities are lost forever. And the new one doesn't, the new character that comes in doesn't have relationships. So it's sort of an incentive for you to do everything you can to keep your character around, as opposed to thinking of characters as just being expendable.
And some of them had to be next near each other.
Yeah. Some have to be near each other. Some just have to, you know, still keep living.
But it was a cool idea to deal cards between characters and not two characters. And that link was the ability. So everybody had something, a card in between each gap.
It was a good idea. Brought up a little sort of like a role play-y type thing too.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it was fun.
In what way role play?
Well, it's not – I mean, Arkham is not really a terribly role-play-y board game.
Right.
But for some reason, like, I had a – one of my relationships was a friendly competition against with the person next to me, where if I had killed more monsters than he got a bonus to killing monsters. If he had closed more gates than I had, then I got a bonus to closing gates. And as we started playing, it was always like – It just kind of slipped into the way we were talking with each other. Like, oh, you killed another monster. Good for you. I'm so happy for you.
You know? You know how, like, yeah, you're right. Some of the games, you know, like Pandemic, you don't really role play it out. But, like, Battlestar Galactica, you kind of automatically just fall into kind of the roles a little bit.
A little bit, yes.
When you pick your character, it's a big thing. You're like, you got to know.
And with
who
the
you
whole,
want.
Like, secret traitor thing, everyone's, you know what I mean? That you kind of, like, play the part. Just by the mechanics of the game, and I think that's what's brilliant about Battlestar Galactica.
Well, I love the fact that Battlestar Galactica, what I see in the game is that it represents the best part of the show.
Right.
And what I'm interested to see is, as the expansion packs, as they run out of more and more things to do with the expansion packs, if they'll head more towards the end of the show, and the expansion packs will start being...
Well, they did that with the last one.
Yeah.
Yeah, if they
which
do
is
the
they
final
added
five.
New Caprica. Because before, the only thing you had to do was jump one more time and you win. And there was kind of just this letdown, like, oh, we just jumped one more time, we won.
Right.
Now, you slide the Battlestar Galactica map over, you put a little mini board, which is New Caprica, everyone is on there, and you have to, and all your remaining civilian ships are grounded.
Huh.
You have to prepare secretly the grounded ships so that when Battlestar comes back, they can launch into the air. Meanwhile, instantly, the Galactica is surrounded by every Cylon ship possible, and you got to fight them off and launch all your people before everything is destroyed.
And it ain't easy. The last time I played, the humans creamed the Cylons on New Caprica. They got every freaking ship up into the air. And the Cylons are just like, well, fine, we've got this enormous fleet up there. And we blew all of the human colony ships right out of the sky before they could jump. You know, it's like there's a balance to all this stuff.
Yeah, but it's way more dramatic. Although it does add a half hour to maybe about a half hour to the game.
Actually,
it's an epic game anyway.
I found it added maybe 10, 20 minutes when people knew what they were doing.
I haven't played. Maybe we were just always kind of.
Yeah.
It was always a new expansion, so. Yeah.
And anyway. There's usually a new player going, I don't know what this board is.
What else? What other things we got? We got movies, we got board games, we got TV shows, we got so much stuff.
But back to board games, Aaron, you have to tell us about Prosperity, because I didn't get to play
it. I talked a little bit about Prosperity.
Did you?
Prosperity is the expansion to Dominion, the card game, which is still a great game.
You really want to play this?
Yes.
Okay.
I do.
The great thing about Prosperity is that it adds big money to the game. So before, when you played Dominion, you were buying these specialty cards and building a deck, and the money that you would buy these cards range from like 2 to 5, really. Mm-hmm. 2 to 6, 8 if you had buying a special card. Now they go up to like 10 and even higher, but you have bigger money. So you can play games where you're getting big, big money.
And is there coins or something?
There's little pieces and coins that kind of add different rules to the game. And it's interesting. I think it's probably the best expansion that's out.
And have you used it, like, integrating it with all your other expansions?
Yeah, it's
kind
of best that way.
Oh, cool.
The great thing about it is that there's all sorts of new treasure cards, and these are the cards that you buy other cards with, and they all have little tricks to them. So when you add them to the game, it really changes the game up more than usual. So anyway, if you were to buy, I suggest anybody who's into games, if they haven't already, go buy Dominion, the basic set, because I think it's a great game.
Yeah, and you can get it for like $30 on Amazon sometimes.
Right. If you were to buy an expansion, I would maybe do Prosperity next.
And what about Intrigue? Because you told me to get it.
Well, Intrigue is also another great expansion because it allows you to play 5 to 8 players. But that's not the best amount of players to play with. It's best to play with like between 2 and 4. Those are the best like Dominion games.
Yeah. Yeah. Lisa's really taking this information in. And
it's love a great Dominion.
Game. It really is a great game.
All I have is the basic set, and so I'm like all.
Well, the problem
expansion.
You have is though where to put all your freaking cards. I mean,
yes.
I've got like 1,500 cards now, and I have a problem.
What?
But you have that
you already had a problem.
Case.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Well, I got rid
now
of
now you have a problem?
You got rid
yes,
of
exactly.
Yeah, well, I have a problem with cards right now.
That's like having a heroin addiction, and then you bend a spoon, and you're like, shit, now I have a problem.
I burned my spoon.
I burned my spoon.
I feel like I'm an enabler.
I got rid of the baby coffin.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
What'd you do? Did you sell it? What'd you
no,
do?
No, I mean, I just put it to the side.
Baby
I got
coffin?
It.
No, I'm a little freaked out.
It was a baby
I bought
coffin.
This,
two new dads.
I bought this box to hold all the cards. It came in this guy made like a personalized Dominion carrier.
It's handsome. It's beautiful.
It's really, really elegantly.
Yeah.
Made out of wood.
But it's a baby coffin.
But it looks like a baby coffin. It's that big.
Wow.
And it's heavy.
Moving on.
All right. So what other...
whatever else we got.
Says the new dad.
Yeah. Are we... we got books. We got
books,
movies. Where do you want to go?
Let me talk
games.
About one more board game.
Ooh, one more board I've game. I've got books to talk about.
There's a game I have a new game called Carson City, which is a Western game, which is kind of rare in the board game field. I don't know why Westerns isn't, you know, played out more. But it's a great game where everyone's building Carson City. You're building different types of buildings, and you're making money depending on what the buildings are next to. And it's a worker placement game where you're essentially placing different cowboys on actions that you want to perform.
Mm-hmm.
And normally in these games, there's quite a few of these worker placements. Normally only one person can place their piece on one action, and then that blocks it from somebody else. The fun thing about this game is you can challenge somebody to a Western duel if you place it on
a certain spot,
on the same spot, and everyone has to then duel for the spot.
You could then integrate Don's iPhone game.
But it's actually a pretty fun game, and it feels themey enough. It feels like a Western game. They did a pretty good job. So I've played it 3 or 4 times. I think I'm going to try to bust it out a couple more times.
Excellent.
All right.
Books?
Sure.
Let's talk about books.
What you got?
I got books.
Hit it, Lise.
All right, well, I'll just start with, I've read a graphic novel, Asterius Polyp. Has anybody read this?
No. Asterius Polyp?
Asterius Polyp. It's like the weirdest name.
Sounds like a really nasty disease that men get checked on after 36.
Yeah. It's funny. If you just heard the name, you'd be like, I have no interest in this. Yeah. This sounds like painful. But it's great. It's really interesting. It's really hard to describe because it's actually very philosophical, like especially when you think graphic novel. It's basically about a guy having a midlife crisis, and that's the whole thing. But the way the artwork works, it's really about also just analyzing this relationship that went wrong.
Is there a sci-fi hook, or is it
No,
just...
not really. But it's something about how the artwork works to tell this very layered human story. And it's just great to see a graphic novel going to this place. Like it's about this architect who loses his relationship and basically loses everything and goes off on his own to, you know, just wander and figure out what he's doing.
What's the art style?
It's a mixture. It's sort of like there is a very particular style, but then when they start talking about emotional things, it changes and it becomes more artistic. I don't know how to describe it, but it's really well done and it's really interesting and it's different.
And what is it called again?
You're going to make me say it. Asterios Polyp.
Asterios.
Asterios Polyp.
Interesting.
Yes. which you should get removed as soon as possible. What you got, Pete?
Brandon Sanderson.
Oh, yeah. I'm reading him, too, on Pete's recommendation. This is the guy who's finishing off the Robert Jordan
Wheel of Time series.
Wheel of Time series. Oh.
And the most recent book he did, I thought he did a great job.
I thought he did a great job. Well, okay, go ahead. Go ahead. You talk.
Okay. So his work is a mix between genius and pretty good, mm-hmm. you know, which is to say there are a couple – he's got a lot of books out now at this point. He's most known for the Mistborn trilogy. Mm-hmm. Which I thought was pretty darn good. I was really excited when I read it. His most recent book, The Way of Kings, knocked my socks off. It's unfucking real how good it is.
I have not read Way of Kings yet. I've read his other stuff. And I think one of the best and worst things about Brandon Sanderson, he establishes these wonderful worlds. He establishes really cool rules to his world. He gets deep into plot, and then he closes everything out. And I swear to God, 25 pages of the end of the book, and you're like, what? You know, like
it's like a Star Trek episode.
It's like boom, everything's done, and you're like,
now I didn't have this reaction. So.
Okay, how did that happen? But I mean, his worlds are wonderful. I read Elantris. I read Warbreaker. Elantris is like a world that Don would love. It's like basically there.
Now wait, are any of these in Jordan's world, or is this a
no?
Separate? Okay,
no.
He's a world builder.
Yeah, and I think he complements Jordan's world specifically because Jordan built such a huge world, and he needed to finish. And he needed to finish in 20 pages, in a decent amount of time, rather than talking about a dress for 400 pages. And Brandon Sanderson is definitely doing that job. Now, like books like Elantris, I felt established a really great world. It's gods on a hill, and the gods are amazing. And anybody in this world who lives in the cities nearby can one day have a genetic abnormality, and boom, they become a god.
The next day they wake up and their skin is glowing.
Their skin is glowing and they have silver hair and they're amazing and they understand magic inherently, you know, and one day they all get a disease and they absolutely just become rotted to the core and humanity can't deal with the fact that their gods have fallen and so they sort of wall them away in their own city and it becomes sort of a city of the dead and it's how humanity is dealing with their gods having been fallen afterwards and reshaping society afterwards. Really neat concept.
Wow, good
concept. Fun, closes it too quickly.
The Mistborn trilogy is
great.
Amazing. It's this world where society is barely kind of surviving. Mm-hmm. And
because there's a tyrant who's just wrecking everything.
There's
for
this tyrant god king that is unkillable. But some people here have the Mistborn abilities.
Right.
Now, you can either have one of the eight abilities or you can have all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Very few people have all of them, but now these abilities are run by tiny flecks of metal that you have to ingest.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And you burn the metal to get powers.
Right. So you burn copper and it allows you to, you know, see better or your senses go through the roof.
Right. Okay. Or you burn a different metal and it allows you to push off of all the metals around you.
Right.
So you
can actually do almost, you know, jump like the Hulk.
Yeah. If there's metal on the ground, you can use that metal to shoot yourself up in the air.
Yeah. You can drop coins as you go and bounce off of each of the coins.
Effectively fly, but you have to be really good at what you're doing because you don't want to screw up. But you can also, if you burn a different metal, you can pull metal towards you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's this whole like.
It's a wonderful magic system.
It's a magic system all built off of metal.
Cool.
And it's really interesting. And he does a great job. I mean, what I love is he does a great job of setting up this mystery. And you get to the end of the first book, and the book's about something, and then you realize, oh my God, it's
completely different.
It's completely different.
Well,
it's even
when
bigger.
That happens. Yeah.
He's fantastic about that.
Yeah, he's really good at sort of that final twist.
But The Way of Kings, I'm just telling you.
Okay, I'll read.
That's
it.
The
I'll
one. Read it. That is the one. Like
I just got Towers of Midnight, the next book in the Robert Jordan series. So Matt is excited to go home and
is this the ending book?
These are the last three. They took. Well,
sure.
they're not
the
stupid.
The
Tor
end.
Is not dumb. They took the final book and all of Robert Jordan's notes for the final book. And Brandon Sanderson is breaking them into three books, which is good because the last one was 700, 800 pages, and it was
really good.
It was really good.
It was quite good.
And answered a lot of the freaking questions that I was like.
I'm rereading that series now, knowing that there's an end. But
yeah.
It's funny. I'm like, I'm on book two, and like, I don't
how many books are there about
any of this?
Yeah.
What? How many books are there now?
Right now, I think this is 12 or 13, something like that.
It's a marathon.
It's a marathon. Wow. It is a great marathon. It's a really, really fun. The other one I wanted to recommend is Jonathan Carroll. I picked up this guy on a friend's recommendation, and he basically writes like Hemingway and Rod Serling combined.
Wow.
Right? Very sort of declarative, whatever the other D word I'm looking for, sentences and basically, yeah, no, it's more like declamatory. It just sort of says, this is what happened. You know, he doesn't really go into much more.
So is he easy to read?
He's very easy to read, but he's also incredibly evocative in what he's saying. He had this whole one short story in this book called The Panic Hand, the whole short story is about a man and his dog, and you think it's this wonderful story about a man who's going to lose his dog, and then it just turns on its head and you find out what the animal kingdom really is about. It's a really wonderful, The Panic Hand is a book of short stories. I highly recommend it. Go get it.
Cool.
Patrick Rothfuss, who wrote The Name of the Wind.
Oh, yeah. My sister loved that book.
That was a great book.
She was pissed because you couldn't get it?
Who could not click with that book.
Really?
I just disliked the lead characters so much.
Did you finish the whole thing?
No, I got maybe 50 pages in or 80 pages, and I was like, no, I just don't like anyone.
She said it took more than that.
Okay.
And then she was really hooked. She was so hooked, but she said it took – she's going to put it down.
I just found that lead guy so repulsive.
Like, I think there might be a really turning point. By him.
I love the book. I really adored it. But the second book is coming out soon. I'm not sure exactly when.
Carolyn said 2011, and she was really pissed because when she finished that one, she wanted the next one so bad, and she said she saw the author on his blog, and she's like, what are you doing? Write the book! Stop blogging!
Exactly.
That's what happened every time.
I feel like that was George R. R. Martin. Exactly.
It's like, why are you blogging right
yeah,
now?
Stop.
Work to do.
I mean, what are they going to do with the TV show? What do you think?
They've got
March of 2011. You're right.
Yeah, that's what she said.
Five
and she
years.
Was mad.
Well, it's seven books. So is it a book
it.
A year?
Yeah, it's a book a season.
Okay. Yeah.
Book a season.
It's a book a season. So he's got to get writing.
Yep. Wait, what is this?
George R. R. Martin. I mean, if he's got... Yeah.
Song
if it's
of
a,
Ice and Fire series, TV
if,
series.
If it's a book a season, I mean, he's
behind.
They're
going to catch up. Yeah.
I mean, he's really behind it. Does that mean – because the fourth book was supposed to be two books that, or one book that was combined into two books?
I'm still unclear because I think it was supposed to be a seven-book series.
Yeah.
And now the next – there's supposed to be two more books.
Two more real books or two more half books?
I don't know. I don't think anyone knows anymore.
Yeah, he's got a ways to go. And I mean, I'm all about quality.
Have you guys seen some
Jordan?
Of the...
Jordan betrayed me on book, you know, seven of Wheel of Time.
That's sort of my problem. Like a lot of the authors that I love, right? That I truly love. You know, the David Eddings books, the Bulgariad. I mean, I have love for those books from when I was a kid.
Absolute adoration.
But it's very hard to go back to some of these after reading the George R. R. Martin stuff. Like, I'm reading The Wheel of Time again, Robert Jordan, and I'm reading the good books, and I'm still reading them, and I'm seeing the good that I saw before, and I like them. Don't get me wrong. But it's hard not to compare them, the complexity level, to the George R. R. Martin stuff,
Of character. I saw someone write in a forum that says, has George R. R. Martin ruined fantasy for us?
Now, I view him kind of like the way I view Sondheim in musicals. Is like, if you like musical, I know Aaron's not the biggest musical fan.
He says, be in them.
That's true. You want to sing? You want to sing?
What's wrong with these kids today? Ba-da-da-da, kids who can understand anything they say.
Kids. Wow.
Of all the songs to pick.
Yeah.
Get a Falon!
Noisy, crazy, sloppy, lazy. So
wow, you really remember.
But basically, you know, when you first get in musicals, like, you might like Cats. You might like Phantom. You like sort of stuff that's a little more candy. And then you get Sondheim and you watch Into the Woods for the first time and you go, oh, wow, there's a level of complexity and depth to the narration, to the storyline, to everything. And then you come back to the other stuff and you're like, this is fluff. That's always how I feel about George R.
Martin. Sondheim sets the bar.
He does. He does set the bar. He does. He actually has a new – he also has a new book out that just came out where he picks on everybody. I mean, he just tears everybody a new ass, including himself. But just check it out.
But are you not excited that the next book is going to have lots of Tyrion in it?
Yes.
No spoilers.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. 20 years later.
It's
4 years later.
What book are you on?
I'm just starting.
You're just starting?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I wish I could read the first book.
I know. I've got the first two on my Kindle. They came packaged together for some reason. So I'm in.
Okay, you have to call me when you finish book three.
No. There is a point in book three. We've discussed this before, and we're not giving anything away.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, spoilers.
When it happens, you will know the event that we are speaking of.
Right.
Mm. There's probably an 80% chance you'll be reading it at about 3 a.m.
Yes.
I'll still call your
ass. Yeah. Every single person I know has called me the next day saying, "You have no idea how much willpower to not call you at 3 a.m., you bastard."
Hilarious. Yeah.
Well, if you get a call at 3 in the morning, you know.
I don't know if I was as affected by that.
Well, I think you were prepped.
You were
a little prepped.
We're not discussing.
We gave you a little Sophie's Choice.
But you do need to. I mean, the series is coming out very soon.
I know. That's next year.
That's
why I don't know whether or not.
Is it next fall?
Next fall.
No. I think it's.
No, it's next fall. I think.
Please God, let it be spring.
It happens at the beginning of the year.
Really?
That would make me so happy.
They're doing trailers right now. I think it's happening.
They're doing teasers.
But I've seen barely little footage.
I have to say, though,
teasers.
The teaser that I saw was awesome.
Although, I guess.
It was just right.
Daenerys doesn't look like Daenerys to me.
I always thought Daenerys was like kind of dark haired.
No, I don't think about her dark haired. I just think of her
not. Her entire family is white hair.
Yeah, white hair.
Yeah, I never
platinum.
Got that.
Platinum. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, then she's.
That's why I want to read it first.
I wanted more exotic.
No, it's wise.
They got Khal Drogo. I think they nailed that actor. I thought they.
Yeah, you just look at him and you're like,
perfect. But yeah, her, I was like, you're not pretty enough.
Yeah, she needs to be exotic.
She needs to be
to me.
Perfect. Is what the only.
You know,
thing.
I'm gonna wait and see because that's a role that if the actress has the charisma to pull it off,
right.
Doesn't matter how she looks.
Okay.
Know?
I'll give you that.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at her and you just, like, get that sense of, like, yes, she is a beauty. Even if she's not, even if I don't see it, I know it. You know?
Should we shift into
TV? Can we shift into
TV?
Casting? You know, The Hobbit has been cast.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't want to cast me as Smaug, the bitches.
Aww.
I don't understand my needs.
Like, yeah, you're too. There's too much of a Warcraft sound.
Preparing your
voice.
Whole life for this.
Yeah, they.
Give us a line, Matt. Give us a line.
Jerks. Yeah. I don't know a Smaug line. I just don't. Sorry,
but they have a Bilbo.
They do.
They have a Bilbo,
and Ian McKellen is returning, and as Andy Serkis.
Is that signed?
That is signed.
Yeah, I mean, great. What is Andy doing?
He's in
whatever
there.
He wants.
He's got a good part. Gollum.
Yeah, I know. But what else is he doing?
Yeah. Did he work after King Kong? I haven't really seen it.
I have no idea.
I saw him in a video game.
Like, he's like, oh, well, you know.
He was in.
Let me check my calendar.
Sword.
I mean,
working,
the dude's making.
He's probably
money.
Working in New Zealand. Yeah, I mean, sure. For all
well, that
know.
You know, that almost killed the damn production. Also, they were having problems with unions and stuff. There, it was like, to be honest, I did not think this thing was going to get through that much.
They had to vote in order to keep it in New Zealand or something.
Essentially, what happened was they made an exception. They made like the Hobbit exception.
Yeah. Hmm. Because they were hiring Australian crews, I think, for it. And Australian crews work on a different sort of union basis. They're much more American in terms of the way they're working. And they were upset that they were going to bring in a New Zealand crew that was basically going to be doing scab labor.
I think the rest of the island
said,
hello, we need some Hobbit money here now.
Lord of the Rings was a little while ago, and we loved that tourism. Thank you very much. It's a recession. Could we have
some
more?
Pull your head out of your ass and get that movie made here.
Yeah. So
they've already been dressing up the Shire.
Again?
Yeah.
Is it the same Shire?
It's got to be the same Shire.
No, because they took it down.
No. No, I've seen pictures of the Shire. Well, it's a sheepfold. It's like they're sheep, like inside
Bilbo's
house.
It's not
the one
from the original Lord of the Rings.
Because
the farmer had required that they take it down after the shoot.
Yeah, well, you're kind of both right. They went back to the same place and they rebuilt.
Okay.
And they are refarming and regrowing all the stuff that make it.
I remember because tourism people were up in arms that they had removed the Shire.
Hmm.
That dude should have kept it.
He should have kept it. He'll keep it.
But I saw pictures on the internet of the houses overgrown and inside some of the houses, the shells of where the houses were.
Yeah, they may have kept some of that. You know. But it's cool to see. I love the fact that they have enough money that they are literally a year ahead of time going in and growing a mini city. a little mini town.
Which is what they did in Lord of the Rings.
I know, but it's awesome. I mean, it looked like there was vegetable. I mean, it looked like it had been there.
Well, they have to spend a little more time there, right? In this one? Or is he off on the journey pretty quickly again? I mean,
it depends what they want to do.
Again, it's sort of, we're here, we're smoking some weed. This time it's Gandalf and Bilbo smoking.
I bet you they're
going
to make some, because this is our return to the Shire.
Right.
They're going to give us some time there.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, and they're making two movies.
I prefer it on the front end than the nine endings.
It'll be on the front end.
Because
they're making two movies out of this. They're going to fill this with something. And yay. I think they're pulling from the
Silmarillion.
I think they're pulling from a lot of different things.
Pull from the Silmarillion. Well, if they could please, like, explain it while they're there, please. That'd be awesome, too.
It's like reading the Bible.
It kind of is. It really kind of is. All right, where should we move? We should move to TV.
Okay, so TV?
Okay, yeah. Before we go into TV, I just have one thing. We didn't go really into Geek Weeks and stuff like that, but I just had to mention this in passing. I went fishing, right? And fishing is really half about fishing and half about the tall tales that you tell. Now, one of the guys who was in fish camp...
With a half where you're drinking beer.
Well, that too. but that involves the storytelling.
Oh.
But one of the guys who was there is a physicist. He's an engineer. And he brought along a device, and it looked like sort of an old ham radio. And it had these big aerial ears on it and everything. And it said on the outside of it, it said, Personal Evaluator Bullshit Detector.
Okay.
Said it on this box. And what it did was it sampled our voices. It recorded us in the room. And as we started
talking
lying
about your fish
or exaggerating, it would go, eh!
And was it right?
It was right.
No way.
He had a little clicker.
No way.
No, because it caught him, too, a lot.
I don't believe it. That's too...
It was crazy. So, you know, I asked him, I was like, why haven't you manufactured this? Why isn't it, you know, everywhere? And he said, we tried, it has to be built by hand, and there's certain, you know, things like that. But
then they go, and they start talking about that bullshit.
Man, but, that thing would be all the time.
Oh, it was. It was great. But I actually kind of wanted to write a short story about a fish camp that is, you know, everybody starts being quiet because they can't actually tell big fish stories.
But imagine, I mean, this is one of those technologies that is dangerous. I mean, imagine, like...
Daily life.
Yeah. I mean, people tell little white lies just through their all day.
And, you know,
you walk in the house like, hey, honey, and if there's ones installed in the kitchen...
Yeah.
How's your day? Fine.
So where were you? Oh, I had a long lunch. I mean, just even
exactly
just everything, and people don't want to install
society
their phones.
Would crumble.
Yeah, exactly.
Though, admittedly, a lot of the white lies that people tell, they believe. I doubt it would pick that up.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the things that he said. Yeah, if you do believe what you're saying, you know, then...
so it's only
well. That's how people dodge
down.
The lie detectors to begin
people
with.
People would learn how to dodge this. After it's around for a little bit of time, you would just learn how to convince yourself that what you're saying is true.
Right.
There's like a lying arms race.
Everybody would become Ace to Die. Like they would just know how to speak the lie by speaking the truth.
Speak the lie. You know? Just stretching the truth as far as it could. You know,
so everybody's speaking in code.
Just right. So
people understand. Nobody's ever lying, but they're not telling the right truth.
Yeah, I did not say it was the biggest fish I ever caught, but it was rather large.
So people understand the reference, that's from...
Wheel of Time.
Wheel of Time.
Yes.
Ace to Die.
All right, let's move to some TV.
TV.
What do we got?
Well, the newest thing that should be mentioned, of course, is The Walking Dead.
Right.
Which premiered on Halloween. I have to give it two thumbs up. I was very pleased with it.
It was well done.
It was funny, though, because the comment that I made after Comic-Con was that I thought the acting looked really shoddy in the beginning.
Yep.
I stand by that earlier comment in that in the trailer, the way they cut it together, the acting looked really shoddy.
And it's
not. But when you watched it in its entirety and everything had context, it was fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't.
And I thought this main actor, for being a Brit and everything, one, he's carrying off the accent, two, he's good.
He's really the main character in that first episode. It's all about him.
I have had a lot of people who are not super geeks say they thought it was pretty slow.
I
enjoyed that.
I had another problem with it, which is I actually have problems with the editing.
Interesting.
They tended to stay out with wider shots and not give me the reaction
shots.
You know, there's this great moment, this great scene where he's waking up in
the hospital,
right? And there's the moment where he walks out from his hospital room into the hallway. Okay? Well, they don't do that from his perspective. what happens is he goes to open the door, you cut to the hallway, and you see the hallway's destroyed. I wanted to be on his face.
Yeah.
As the door opens and he looks down, there's this thing blocking him, and he pushes out of the way, and he steps in and then widened to reveal.
You know, I know what you mean. Not that I really paid attention to the editing, but you know the part where he finds the, like, half torso? Wow, you can do that?
Yeah.
And, or it was like you thought it was dead, mm-hmm. and then it came alive.
Yeah.
And there's such great ways of showing the thing surprisingly coming alive, but they just cut to it coming alive.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
They just, they were just sort of on the other side of it, I think it was... What I felt in that is everybody was going, that's a zombie. It's a zombie.
Yeah.
The thing's dead. It's dead. It's dead. That they didn't try and make it a scare.
Well, right. but it's just still, you want to be in this guy's mind.
Yes.
When he comes out and he sees all the dead bodies everywhere, you know, they very quickly, before he gets, you know, they very quickly pull to a wide shot. See, we get the scope of it, but we don't see his face. We don't see him understanding the scope of it.
Hmm.
You know?
For me, though, it did two different things. One, it made it factual rather than dramatic. Right? The series was presenting the zombie outbreak not as a horror show, as a factual show. Right? It's like, this is the way the world would be if this happened.
Right.
And we're not trying to scare you with it.
No, I don't. I agree they weren't trying to scare, but it's about these people and how they're feeling. It's not a documentary.
It's not a documentary. I don't mean to make it sound like that, but it's not a horror genre. And if you're
right.
sitting in his face when he makes these reactions,
he's also telling you.
He's telling you how to feel. He's forcing that emotion on you, which is fine in a dramatic piece. But with this, for me, it helped me stay separate. And think about me in that situation because I wasn't going through the filter of him.
I would totally disagree.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just talking about my reaction.
No. I'm just saying taste-wise, I would have a completely different reaction.
That's fine.
Mm-hmm. But that being said, the writing was fantastic. The cinematography was fantastic. The set design was un-fucking real.
It was like a movie.
They spent some money. Although I have to say, spoiler alert. There is a scene in there where the man is sniping. If that scene was not in that pilot would have been a failure to me.
Because it was like
because that was the only real
emotional part. I thought that guy was the emotional core when he was just talking about his son and, you know, just crying to the pillow, just crying to the pillow, just crying to the pillow. I was like, oh, my God.
But even then,
one scene, if that was not in there, it would have been a failure pilot.
But even then, I've got a pretty big TV, and they're pretty far back on him on this emotional scene.
Yeah.
Like, when he's talking about emotional stuff, they're in fairly wide shots. And it's like, I'm sitting here going, some of the acting didn't look as good as I thought it was because, you know.
I mean, that scene with the doorknob, with the
I loved that scene.
Yeah, I loved that scene. I thought that scene, but again, they kept it in a three-quarter. I thought the wife
did a great zombie. I mean, I know zombie acting is, I'm not sure how much you comment on it,
right.
But I thought she did a great job because she looked like some type of animal.
Right. She looked like some type of animal.
She breathed. She was like, you know, use this kind of mouth.
She was very,
like
she was very fish or bird-like.
Very alien.
Yeah, very alien.
Yeah.
And it was so upsetting.
Not like a George Romero zombie.
Yeah.
No.
Right.
What was awesome was that with that scene, I felt like there's somebody still in there. But the neurons aren't firing.
Yeah. Right. You were able to question that. Though.
Right. Yeah. She came to her door.
She came to her door, which
made you kind of wonder if there was some type of firing going on in the brain that made her kind of...
Why did she come, why did she come to her door, But that,
Now, again,
that was my favorite scene.
Are these zombies undead?
We don't know.
Or are they just got the disease?
One has to assume that they're undead because you can't physically live as half a torso.
Right, right.
You have to assume this.
Yeah.
One scene that I really liked that wasn't in the book and that I kind of missed in the book that I thought, they were so smart in the writing, was, do you remember when he first goes – this is early on. It's not a spoiler. When he first goes back to his house and he's like, am I dreaming? Like, what's happening to me,
right,
basically?
Yeah, he shakes himself.
Yeah, and I always want that moment, especially in the book when I was reading it. I always want the moment where the person is like, what the hell? Like, this,
right.
You can't accept it right away.
Right.
And I thought they did a good job with that.
Actually, one of the things that somebody mentioned, this was not my original thought, but I really agreed to it when somebody said it to me, was I loved their reactions to the zombies. Like, the first few times they see them, they're horrible, and they're freaked out by them. But from that point on, they're sort of like, okay, no, I know what to expect now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to scream every time I see a freaking zombie. You know,
right.
I really liked that, you know.
Now, I did find it interesting. Now, I have not read the whole series.
But you have read some?
Yeah. I find it interesting that the pilot does not introduce to you the main core characters.
No.
The main
core. Introduce you the one main character.
The one main character and the world, which I think is actually more important. Because once they go, here's the world, now we can move on and we don't have to spend that money again. You know?
They took their time introducing the world.
Yeah.
I don't remember the book doing... Or the graphic novel doing anything different, though? Did it introduce other characters?
Yes.
Yeah.
The whole... The first
triangle.
The group.
Yeah.
Though, we're getting there.
Yeah.
You know, but it's just so weird.
And Darabont said that at Comic-Con. He said, we will be moving inside and outside of the story.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. One thing I can tell you, because the way I saw it was at the SAG screening where they had a panel with all the actors afterwards. This was just... last week, and they brought on these actors where I was like, who are these characters? And they said they're new characters that aren't in the
book. In the book.
Yeah. Was the Asian dude there?
Yes, he was. Good. And he was
He's
great
in the next episode.
He was great because he was such a fan of the book. Like, he was, like, answering people's questions in the audience, like, single-handedly because they all had questions about the book, and he was really into it.
Yeah. I'm just looking forward to Michonne, you know, when she finally shows up.
Yeah.
We'll see. Do any of you own it? Because I'd like to read it again.
The graphic novel?
Graphic novel.
I have the first four, but
I've had version.
Up to date.
Okay. Oh. And is it done or is it ongoing?
No, it's ongoing.
Oh. No.
The thing that I love about it, love and feel bad about for his series is that while it's beautifully written, really well executed, and a very emotional comic, I feel like he's traveling through many stories that have been told before.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know, like from the guy waking up on the slab and 28 days later, from, you know, wandering through the outbreak to, you know, it's like all of these are stories that I've seen.
And there's nothing really new to zombie lore, at least so far as I've read. It's all the standard.
He doesn't add to the canon, but he executes the canon beautifully.
Right.
Well,
and
anyway,
he does make a character.
That's
a good shutdown on Walking Dead. What else we got?
Good zombie stuff needs to be.
The event.
Yeah.
You guys are still watching that?
I just saw the pilot. I couldn't get past the pilot.
I watched about 4-5 episodes, and now I just can't.
They lost me at 3, and I'm sad because, one, my friend Angel Desai is on the show, and two...
Which guy is he?
No, Angel Desai is, she's the stewardess. She's just a very small,
recurring
guest star on the show. And then I was at Trader Joe's, and Ian Dale walked up behind me, and he said, I just want to tell you I'm a fan of your work. And I don't know when Ian Dale would have ever seen anything that I was
Ian
Dale's the Asian dude who's on the show.
He's
on
great.
The event. He's great.
He's actually one of the best parts of the show.
He's sort of the
action
hero Asian dude.
He's the Jack Bauer.
I mean, he's the Jack Bauer. And like, I don't know when the hell he would have seen my work, but to walk up and
do that
in a trailer.
Think about it.
I was like, okay.
They've got great actors on the show.
Yeah.
They really did.
Laura Linney. Good Lord.
I love Laura Linney.
They got great actors.
Not Laura Linney.
No.
Did I say?
Yeah, you mean the woman with the crutches?
Maura Tierney.
Tierney. Yeah.
No.
No.
I'm saying anything with an Ernie in it. What the hell is her name?
It's Laura something.
Laura Innes.
Thank you, Tracy.
My wife from the kitchen.
The kitchenette to our $1 million.
I think the young kid. I think the young boy I do not like.
Another espresso, please.
Yeah, not good.
The young boy.
Actually, the writing in this is awful.
That's what I was going to say. The writing is atrocious.
It's embarrassing.
That's why I couldn't watch it.
I've been saving it on my DVR.
The writer's 24, apparently.
It might be time to cancel the season pass.
Some of the writers from 24.
The dialogue is embarrassing for the actor. I mean, I see these actors, and I'm like, they're red.
They are working their asses off to make it work in scenes.
Yeah.
And the lead guy, who is the son of...
Jason Ritter?
Yeah, Jason Ritter, son of Jack Ritter.
Oh.
He's really good.
Really? Because he's awful in this.
I think he's great.
Young little boy that has saving his girlfriend?
No. Yeah. The guy saving his girlfriend.
He's
not a young boy. He's like
the youngest one.
I like him.
I think he's
Aaron,
saving.
You just aged yourself to like 60.
Yeah, get off the lawn, young kids.
I think given the lines he's doing, he's working his ass off to make them work in the scenes.
Can I just point out the newest dad?
The writing for him is the worst. Their best writing is when it's like a bunch of agents in an office and the president like just saying, well, this is what we're going to do.
Well,
you know,
I know the showrunner is the 24 guy. And I know the guy who wrote the original pilot. He basically sold it last year and he doesn't have a lot of power while it is his vision. So it's sort of an interesting, not necessarily conflict on set, but he's got, you know, negotiating stuff.
All I can say is that the writing is really bad. It's killing the show, and the show, I think, is going to be dead soon.
Yeah, I can't even – I was trying to keep up, and then I forgot to even watch it 1 week, and then it was been like 2 weeks. I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot about
they do.
It wasn't an event for you?
Yeah.
Nobody's giving it a thumbs up.
Now, they do this time jump thing where they're always like 2 days earlier, you know, four hours earlier.
Oh, like in the pilot where that thing,
that drove me nuts.
And one of my friends was telling me that she can't wait to see the Saturday Night Live sketch of it where they're like 4 seconds earlier, 3 seconds later.
They won't be doing it right now.
Because no one's going to care about it. It's not going to make it to Saturday Night Live.
Anyone know the ratings?
It did well at one time slot. It's been dipping every week.
Mm. Yeah.
Everybody except for CBS. I'll take credit for that.
Yeah, that's all you earned.
All five shows. Every show got picked up.
Wow.
Yeah.
What?
That never happens.
That never happens.
And which shows are they?
They got Blue Bloods, Defenders, Bleep My Dad Says,
Hawaii 5-0,
and
what about Chaos?
That was going to be a mid-season replacement because they told the originally Chaos series. They said, "Sorry, we're not picking you up." Then they said, "We want to pick you up as a mid-season," and now they're like, "You know what? We're going to, I think, just do you next season, do a new fall season."
Great.
Oh, I think they're going to launch in the fall.
What is Chaos?
That's better.
Chaos was the, I thought it was great. I saw a pilot of it. It's about some spies in the CIA who has to, they have to do spy work, but they have to get through all the BS and red tape in the CIA. It's great. I thought it was great.
I was excited about Running Wild. I thought that looked really funny. It actually didn't land.
Oh, I tried to watch it too. I wanted to like it. It was all timing. Much.
The writing I thought was really funny, but the timing, but none of the jokes landed.
It's awkward.
Yeah.
What about the Raising Arizona show? What is that called?
Raising Hope.
Raising Hope. Yeah.
That's supposed to be good too.
I can't watch it.
Someone told me that that's actually very
funny. Pilot.
By the way, I did see the pilot and I didn't see any of the other ones. Did anybody see No Ordinary Family?
No.
No.
Because I didn't think the pilot was as bad as everyone bitched about.
That's because we all were like, "It's horrible."
Yeah, it's not horrible.
Even
it's
my roommate, kind of fun. my very good, kind roommate whose opinions I respect enormously, but will watch any crap on the CW. Right? Mm-hmm. Even he's watching that show, going, "No."
Now I only saw the pilot, so I don't know.
Insulting to geeks because it's like
Smallville is insulting to geeks.
No, you should watch the pilot.
I read the pilot. I thought it had jokes like "You have a lair, I have a lair," you know, and it's just. Oh.
I don't remember that, but it's
and that's
it's,
a shame because the mom on that, she was on Dexter, and she is an extraordinary actress.
She's really good.
Yeah, she is.
But it's kind of making fun of superheroes because there are no superheroes and family.
I saw the Incredibles.
another TV show that's kind of getting lost in the shuffle, unfortunately, is Community.
Community.
Have any of you been watching this?
I love Community.
I don't know why you guys like it.
It is amazing.
The paintball episode.
I'm so glad you said that. I never saw the zombie episode.
So from this year was sheer genius.
If you are not watching Community, which most of you are not, start with season one because it was a huge surprise to me.
Yeah, I watched 3 or 4 episodes and I could not get into
really,
it.
Really, I love
Keep
this show
watching
with a
passion. Because if you get it, which clearly, Don, you get it. Once it clicks it with you, it's like hilarious.
And the humor is surprisingly geeky. It is edgy. It is a
Do
better...
Do you see the one all about Jesus?
Yes, yeah. Yes.
And then there was one all about death?
Yeah. I mean, they hit some real notes. Some of the characters in there are better representations of geeks, I think, than Big Bang Theory.
I totally agree.
I think this show respects geeks.
Yes.
Where Big Bang Theory thinks we're a punchline.
No.
I think Big Bang Theory
obviously makes fun of geeks, but it feels like
it's done with love. It feels like
faux geekism, though. You know, it doesn't really feel like...
I feel like Big Bang Theory specifically goes for... the geek who is the complete hobbyist, who knows every detail on everything in the entire world.
Sure.
You know, there's a joke coming up that says, Will Wheaton, the Jar Jar Binks of the Star Trek universe. How many non-geeks know that joke?
Everybody.
No.
Nobody knows that. Will Wheaton.
Knows that.
No.
Oh, come on. No. You are living in
the mainstream. Go check the mainstream.
No.
Most people don't even know who Will Wheaton is, A. B, that he was the hated kid on Star Trek.
I challenge you to find someone in the mainstream who doesn't know what Jar Jar Binks is. You know,
and well, no, Jar Jar Binks.
Binks, well,
get,
that'll hit.
You know, and Will Wheaton. But maybe Will Wheaton. Less,
I bet you Tracy doesn't even know that joke.
She might.
She just left.
I don't even know if Peter knows that joke.
Don, I totally agree with you. Peter, I feel like the geeks on Community just live. Like, they just are real geeks. Whereas, you know, Big Bang Theory, it's exaggerated for effect, which it should be. It's a comedy.
By the way, can we talk about gleeks in here, or is this a non-gleek?
No. No, we can talk about gleeks. I mean, it's geeks in the title, and it's musicals.
Let me just say something about Glee. I really love the show. You have to stop with the themed shows.
Oh, kill the themes.
Utter garbage.
I agree, because it's so forced.
Although I have to say...
Though I have to...
Britney Spears.
Britney Spears one works.
Yeah. Well, that one worked. That Stronger number was amazing.
And because they because did it as a fever dream.
And it's in a high school universe. That's where she wrote her songs. But Lady Gaga, for God's sakes.
That was...
like,
really forced.
The worst one was Madonna.
Madonna.
The worst one was
so
Madonna.
Forced.
Because none of the characters acted like themselves in order to make that theme work.
Yes.
But Britney Spears one was good because they were all under the sedation of laughing gas in order to have their Britney. And I thought that was kind of a funny way of getting it shoehorned.
I know this show is huge. I've known this show was huge. But one of the things that blew me away, somebody was showing me a bunch of dance mobs. You know, the sort of the crowds that randomly show
the
up
flash
anywhere.
Mobs.
Flash mobs. Thank you. And they're showing me one, and they were like, "Oh, it's Dublin." And these girls in Dublin just randomly do a flash mob for Glee.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, "Wow, that's really cool." And then it was like Israel, Azerbaijan, and I was like,
"Wow,
my God, this show is huge." I mean, that was just sort of realizing how big that show
and
is.
And this season, it's the biggest hit on Fox. Yeah. Like, who would have
thought
that could happen?
Which is interesting to me because. This season has been really inconsistent.
It has. Yeah. I agree.
Really inconsistent.
I agree. And
that's
they never were so preachy. Yeah.
Well, the heart attack episode I thought was very good, but really preachy.
Which is messed up because they have so much good music to go into. I feel like people go, oh, Cash Cow. How do we sell some of Madonna's albums? How do we sell some of Lady Gaga's albums? And it's like... how about no? How about, like, let's go get some Joni Mitchell and redub and redo it. I mean, I think everybody saw how well Journey did because they loved the nostalgia of Journey from the first season, and
they did do an episode that had a lot of show tunes, and I was like, I don't think this one's going to fly.
I think they've done well with blending contemporary show tunes and the nostalgia ones, but
I still think
it's so many.
These guys work their ass off to get this show out. I mean, I mean, it doesn't have special effects and all that type of stuff.
No, but their production numbers are huge.
These people are – the songs are like dead on.
And those actors have got to be –
they're working their ass off.
Working their asses off to learn
and
those routines.
Yeah, exactly.
And they go on tour. Like, they're busy.
Yeah. They are busy.
And we have a smaller geek showing up.
Our mini geek has showed up. Hello, Kate. How's Jack?
Every time they're not in the same room together, it'll be at least half a week before they find each other.
They can't find their hands right now.
Oh, they're so bundled.
Can we talk about Tosh.0? Oh?
Okay,
It's
Daniel Tosh.
Isn't it Tosh.0? Oh?
No,
I think
it's Tosh 2.0 now. The first season was Tosh.0.
Oh, I see.
Daniel Tosh, for a comic, love him as a comic. He's weird.
Not PC.
Not PC, really weird, off the cuff, incredibly random stuff. Like, he's one of those comics who, even if you know the joke verbatim, you can't deliver it because it's his delivery.
Yeah.
You know?
This is a show format you've seen a million times.
It's the talk soup for the internet.
Yeah, yes. It's talk soup. And they even have another show called, Web Soup.
Web Soup.
Is the same. So he does the exact same thing. It's clips from the internet that he comments on and makes fun of.
But part of the thing that makes him so fun is he just seems like he's having the best time.
Oh, yeah.
And he's just enjoying the hell out of his show.
And he has great writers who think of some pretty
very
crazy
funny
stuff. But they also spend a little bit more money than the other ones where they will go out and do some production. For example, almost every week they have a web redemption where they find someone who made a fool of themselves on the internet.
Leave Britney alone!
And they give him a second chance to kind of become cool.
The Afro Samurai was
did
my
you see
favorite
the,
one.
Did you see Tron Guy? That was good. Did you see Tron Guy?
No, I didn't see Tron,
Tron
Guy.
Tron Guy was awesome.
Wait. Tron, I don't know if I've seen Tron Guy.
He's the kind of fat white guy he wears
gray
like a
outfit
body
with
suit.
Blue marker.
I did not see this.
We've seen him for real. We saw him at Anaheim.
Comic-Con?
No, the Anaheim one.
Anime Expo.
Anime Expo. He was there.
Oh.
Anyway, pudgy white guy, gray body
middle-aged
suit, painted on Tron stuff, and then a bicycle helmet.
Okay.
And he has a mustache. And like, the Tron outfit plus a mustache just doesn't work.
So they got him.
Pixels don't have mustaches.
So he looks like a complete tool. Lunatic.
Yeah.
So they got him, and they green-screened him into the Tron world, had a hot chick that he had to save. Speeder bikes and everything, and made him look like a badass.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
it was cool.
That's awesome.
Had to, like, you know, go save the princess.
My actual favorite episode of Tosh 2.0 is when he did Two Girls, One Cup.
And he showed the audience.
He said, we cannot show this video. It is too foul.
We're going to do the next best thing.
Yeah, he said, we're going to do the next best thing. He said, there's lots of videos based on this video where they show the reactions of people watching this video. So I'm going to do the biggest audience reaction of this video.
He literally shows the video to his own audience and records the audience.
And
people are gagging.
People were gagging and throwing.
I am so glad I've managed to avoid this video.
I do not want to see it now.
No, don't.
Do you know what it is?
Do not.
On disclaimer, we do not support the showing of Two Girls, One Cup.
Don't even go look up.
Don't go. Okay. Don't look it
do
up.
Do not Google this.
Don't even listen.
No, it's bad.
Okay.
Don't listen to the description because I didn't see it. I read what it was, just even two sentences.
Yeah.
And I wish I hadn't
read. There are certain things that cannot be unread. There are certain things that cannot be unseen.
This is the worst thing ever. And if I'm making it more intriguing to you, I'm sorry.
I can't imagine an audience.
Listen, don't look.
There's like cinema horrific. And there's like internet horrific. And so there's certain things like lemonparty.org.
Yeah.
You
know, no.
Why are we playing?
I don't even know what these things.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Either.
All right. So Lemon Party, it's like, it sounds like something, you know.
Yeah,
innocuous.
No, stop. Just stop.
It's actually 90-year-old
gay child is in your arms.
You know.
Your child is in your arms.
Can I just point out it's the new dad that has the potty mouth today?
And that is what I just said is tame compared to Two Girls.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. So don't. No one out there.
Yeah.
Don't.
Although, is that a good segue into movies, or are we done with TV?
One last TV.
Because I got a horrible sci-fi movie that we got.
I just want to plug The Guild Season 4. Did you guys watch it?
Oh, I haven't seen the 4.
So great.
It's good.
Big Will Wheaton arc. Which is awesome.
When we get to video game section, really we'll talk about it. But I did download Do You Want to Date My Avatar on Rock Band 3.
And it's good.
Great.
It was fun.
I love that song.
I want to mention Chuck briefly.
I gave up on Chuck because of
non-redeemed.
TV problems. But
again, inconsistent. Like it looked like it was getting better, and then it just took a tailspin for me. I know other people are still enjoying it, but it just feels like they tried to save some money. So they slashed and burned the cast for a little while,
right.
And then that wasn't working, so they brought them all back.
Well, the cast is kind of the best part. Like, I can't imagine.
Right.
Yeah, but all the Best Buy guys.
Right.
All of them got cut
But
for
they're,
a while.
Like, the best part.
Yeah, and then they brought them back, because I think everybody stopped watching. But now it doesn't ring like the old show. It just feels different, and it feels very lame now.
Well, he's a superhero now.
No, they took that away.
Well, they took it away.
No, wait, he has it again. Never mind.
Right.
But, yeah, it's...
yeah.
No.
Well, I'm glad you're telling me, because I have very limited room on my TiVo.
I mean, if you were watching it, it's one of those shows where if you were watching it for me, it hasn't crossed the threshold to actually remove off my DVR yet. I'll watch it if I've got nothing better to do, but it's not good enough for me to suggest to someone who's not watching it.
Right.
And also, we should probably mention The Clone Wars.
Since Jaquili
is working on it.
For a while I haven't seen it because I didn't have my cable didn't carry his channel for a while.
Okay.
So I have to go buy the DVDs and catch up.
Right.
Well, Blu-ray that is.
This is one of those shows where like I'm so pleased that someone out there was listening to me during the first season. Yes, I take full credit for getting good. It's not for kids anymore.
Oh, good.
But it's okay for kids.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
It's not great for adults. But it's okay for kids.
And you know, Jaquili is actually in Star Wars now?
No.
He got a character, Captain Keeley.
Really?
No way.
He's a so clone. He got
that's
killed.
Really?
But,
oh, okay.
But he's like, so he like emailed me, goes, this is me, it's Captain wow. Keeley. I was like, that's wow. freaking awesome.
Does it look
that's
like him? Awesome.
Well, Kat Tabor said she'll come on the show. She plays Amidala on the show. She said she'll come on whenever
that's
we
cool.
want.
That's cool.
So.
Yay. But I've been quite pleased with it this season. It's like it's a little less action-oriented in some ways. But there's less sort of Jedi stuff going on. It's been a very sort of political season.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
So it's like there's a lot of sort of grown-up stuff going on. Then there's like a moral for the kids tucked in there. And then there's like enough action to keep sort of everybody happy.
Good.
I think it's working out
very
nice.
I'm going to watch it. That sounds great.
Maybe this will lead into the thing that I saw the other day. There's an animated series, Batman series, it's streaming on Netflix right now. It's Batman, I think it's called Under the Hood. So all I can think of is the book and the Watchmen.
No, I think that is what it's called.
I think it's called Under the Hood. Anyway, I don't really like these animated films that much. I watched the whole thing. I thought it was pretty damn good.
Yeah, I watched the Red Mask one, and that was really good.
You should watch this one. It's
The Death of Robin.
Oh, I haven't seen that one.
Wait,
oh,
that's the one I just...
Ooh. Yeah.
No, the one I saw starts out with
the death
the
of
new Robin.
Robin
dying.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the one and it's the Red Mask?
Yes, yeah, that's the one I'm talking
movie.
About.
Okay,
so you can stream
movie.
It?
Yeah, you can stream
yeah,
it.
Yeah, okay, I gotta see that.
It's really good. It's every really time good. There's a new Batman, I'm excited.
But a lot of those movies are just like that. If you watch The Mask of the Phantasm and stuff like that, they're good.
There's, Return of the Joker is really
Return of the Joker.
Oh, Return of the Joker is
really dark.
Yeah, though watch the Japanese version, it makes more sense.
Yeah,
that's the one I saw, but it was super dark.
Yeah,
there's a lot of
the American version changes like one small thing, but it's a thing that is worth watching. I think.
Yeah, no, I was
probably like one of the less impressive ones of it, but a warm spot in my heart that I just want to plug real quick was the Sub-Zero movie they came up with. It's not a masterpiece as
not
far as their stuff goes, but it has this one bit in there that I loved. He kidnaps Barbara Gordon, not knowing that she's Batgirl. So she keeps escaping. She escapes like three times over the course of the movie and just, it's like she will not cooperate with being a hostage.
Right.
And it's just hilarious to watch. Like every time she gets out, she messes up something horrible for him. It's great.
Where are we moving? Movies?
So.
I feel like I've missed most of the movies this year.
Well, you didn't miss much.
Well, I hope there's, I think I've talked about it once before, but I hope you did not miss Scott Pilgrim.
No, I did see Scott Pilgrim.
Oh, yeah.
I missed it.
You missed it?
It was really good.
Oh, I'll see it.
It bombed.
It's like four
it bombed
geeks.
Big
it's
time.
Made for
really?
Geeks.
Big time bomb.
I'm hoping it will make money in
I'm sure it will make money in DVD sales.
Now, this is interesting because
I did not like the trailers for it. I was not interested in the trailers for it. And then I saw some teaser stuff after it had come out, and I thought it was second release or third release or whatever. And I saw them starting to do a lot of the anime faces and stuff like that really quoting the comic, using CGI on the faces. And I was like, why didn't you do that in the trailers for me? I would have loved to see that stuff.
I think the trailers scared people off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just because it was – the art direction in this is amazing, but it's something you've never seen before.
Right.
Like I'm watching the movie thinking we are about ready to see a new type of movie emerge from this. This is going to be a seed of a new art style.
Cool.
And I've seen little people try to do things, but the way this was done, it was done so well. And scenes that you
consistently,
through the whole movie,
scenes that you see in anime frames that you just don't think could be done in real life,
right?
Where
they're shaking,
or they're running, and you see the streaks. The background just drops out, and you just see streaks.
Yeah.
To me, I'm like, that just can't be done. It's stupid. They did it,
and
it worked.
And they did it
really
well. Yeah.
There's a conversation going on that basically this is the movie of a new generation.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
But this is the generation that gets all their shit for free off the internet and isn't really willing to pay for stuff and wants to illegally download everything.
So there's people wondering
if that's why it didn't succeed, not because because there were a lot of people who were very excited about it, but those people were people that don't pay for anything.
I think there's a lot of Hollywood that every time this happened with A-Team. Every time they get bad numbers, they blame it on illegal downloads because it got released.
I think there's some truth to that too.
I think there's a lot of shenanigans going. A-Team did not make any money because no one watched it.
Because nobody wanted to see it.
No, but this time I agree. Like, I actually agree with this premise, with what Peter's talking about, in that I think the group it was targeting doesn't necessarily go to the movie theaters as much as like our generation did at that age.
Right.
And older people saw those promos and were just like, it's not.
Yeah, don't want to see it.
Well,
yeah.
Okay, so Tron.
Tron is.
Tron's gonna, us, man.
Yeah, Tron's
it's Tron's on Redux.
Tron's us.
But Avatar, I think Tron's going to get
Avatar is us again.
Yeah. Avatar is 4 quadrant.
Avatar was my mom.
Yeah,
Avatar is 4 quadrant.
Loved Avatar.
I don't get that. But
yeah, there's no demographic that didn't go to Avatar.
I don't think Scott.
Also, everybody on the planet.
Avatar was a stunt.
Yeah, Avatar was a stunt and a very good stunt.
I don't believe that Scott Pilgrim is the first movie of the kid, the downloading kid. That just doesn't.
No, but it may be the first complete movie of.
And also it was so specifically targeted to that group. Where like, look at all of the effects that are there. Our generation, slightly older than the generation we're talking about, will get it, but not necessarily like run screaming to it.
Right.
The generation before us, they have no connection to it at all. They have no desire to see it.
Mm-hmm.
So it effectively locked out a large portion of the market.
No, I agree with that. I totally agree with that.
I mean, these
part,
are the kids. They want to tap into the kids who go to Barnes & Noble and read the manga, you know. The manga
I just don't think there was enough of those people just went inside. I don't think they legally downloaded. That's the reason why. I'd be shocked if that's the true reason.
And I think you might be right about the trailers.
I think the trailers were.
Yeah. I think people looked at it, oh, it's some video game thing, whatever.
And there's something about the trailers that was a little twee.
Yeah.
I must
say. A little bit.
Yeah. You know what they felt like to me? They felt like the old Street Fighter 2 trailers. The terrible Raul Julia Street
Dude,
Fighter
you're
2
right.
trailers.
Dude, you're totally right.
Pastelly, yeah. Very random, big, yeah. Wide.
Kylie Minogue throwing her legs like a big.
Yeah, what in the who? Yeah.
Those have a warm spot for me.
Stop it.
I saw G.I. Joe in the theater just because it reminded me of those movies.
Yep.
I posted a short film on my Facebook. I'm not sure if you guys saw it. The animated short film where the dude comes in to kick ass. It's kind of like a Scott Pilgrim-ish type of thing where he comes into a club to kick this guy's ass. And it does the whole video game type thing. And even at one point goes into side-scrolling 8-bit. Like it goes from full 3D and he's like, 8-bit! And then suddenly it's side-scroller and they're like, and he goes through the levels. He goes, power up, power up, power up. And it's really well done. This guy spent a lot of time on this little short animated film. You should find it on my Facebook. Hmm. It's pretty damn cool.
Take a look.
And even at one point at the very end when they're battling, like just destroying each other, it goes from like 3D, 2D, 8-bit, and then it goes into like text, like adventure.
Oh, no way. That's
like
that. Great.
It's like it breaks down.
The
into
technology
like,
goes all the way technology. Down to text.
Yeah.
That's
and
funny.
It even does Pong. It's like, dum, 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 at the end. Like,
I would like this kind of thing.
I'm such a
sucker.
It's an awesome.
I'll check it out.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
So what other movies?
Okay, now I have a film that I have not seen, but is supposedly the most horrible film that's ever been made. It is called The Human Centipede. Have you heard of this film?
I've heard of the premise.
I've heard of the premise.
Okay.
And they're making a sequel, by the way.
And they're making a sequel. Yeah, that's one of the things. And after hearing the premise, I couldn't watch the film, and then somebody showed me the trailer, and it was worse than I thought.
I thought the trailer was hilarious. I might rent it just to see. I'm wondering if people are making it out to be more than it is.
Some things cannot be unseen.
You'll be watching it alone.
Yeah.
So what's it about?
The Human Centipede. Okay.
Mad scientist.
Hang on. Warning for any of our listeners who are under 18 at this point in time, this is really gross. It's basically.
Or just squeamish to
or,
begin
yeah,
with.
Or yeah, or if you're squeamish, you might want to block this out for about 30 seconds.
You can't unhear it.
You cannot unhear it. Mad scientist kidnaps 3 people. And basically stitches them together mouth to anus
to make one
giant human centipede.
I don't know. I don't think it's that. I mean, it's kind of gross, but
awful. It's really, really horrific. Yeah, and it's just kind of gross. It's disgusting.
Yeah, I have no interest.
There's movies like that are symbolic, but this one, you know, like Boxing Helena, that was like symbolic, but this is like
I got the same sick to my stomach feeling from watching this that I saw from Boxing Helena, and Boxing Helena was a while ago, so it was like my benchmarks were much lower. So I was like, wow, how horrific is this that it gives me that same feeling years later?
Because it's just as gross.
Oh, God. I saw Red.
What'd you think?
I thought it was pretty cute. I mean, I'm not going to remember it maybe 3 or 4 years, you know, down
right.
the line.
You're like, oh, yeah, Red. Right.
But it's
I think
cute.
I saw that.
It's a cute movie.
Malkovich?
Yeah, Malkovich looks
funny.
Okay. Malkovich, Helen Mirren.
Yeah.
Like Helen Mirren is the part that looks great in that.
She, yeah. She's cute as a butt. It's really funny to see her, like, shoot. Like, she
it's the queen, for God's sake.
I don't
sakes.
Know yeah. if they digitally took out blinks,
yeah.
but she fires the biggest weapons in there and does not blink
Actually,
at all.
Actually, I heard an interview with her where she was saying the hardest thing about that movie was learning not to blink while she fired the gun.
Yeah, I saw that at, she talked about that at Comic-Con, but there's a difference between not looking, you know, not making a weird face and not blinking when these things. I mean, she looks like a Terminator.
But wow.
She goes around the corner and fires, and she's not blinking. I mean, even if I were trying to look cool, I'd be like, you know, I would be at least be fluttering a little bit because they're like going off and big, like 50 caliber nice. Mounted thing. I don't know how she did it.
What I love, I have not seen this film. What I love is listening to the NPR reviews of some of these things.
Because they don't know what to do?
They have no idea what to do
they
with
this. They want to hate it, but Alan Mirren's in it.
Well, yeah. I mean,
NPR, to review it.
And they were like, it was so funny listening to this guy try and do an intellectual cover on Red. And, well, I don't, if you're going to have this level of violence, I don't understand how you can really have, it was just ridiculous. It was, but it just cracks me up.
The guy who plays, I'm never going to remember this guy's name.
Who?
I'm sorry.
Bruce actor. Willis?
He's the guy who played McCoy in the Star Trek film.
Okay, him.
And he played, he was in, he was in Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
Okay,
he was Xena as Cupid.
He was Emer.
Yeah. Anyway,
yeah,
he was...
Carl Urban.
Okay, yeah. we'll accept he's, that. sure.
He's really good sure. in this. He's really good in this.
I always liked
like
him.
He, he's feels like he could even be like an action star. He's kind of like the, he's like the bad guy in this.
Well, yeah,
kind of
like
bad
an
guy.
Ugly man's Brad Pitt.
But he's I think
he's totally a, he's totally an ugly man's
like,
Brad
he's,
Pitt.
He looks
I like
pretty
he's
good.
An ugly man's not poor man.
No, he's an ugly man's Brad Pitt. You know, it's like there's
he's handsome know, in this what, movie. He's handsome in this
he's
movie.
He's really handsome.
Yeah, he's come on, really, humor.
But he's
low.
Like quarter inches from being Brad Pitt. He's like, you know, or a quarter yeah. millimeter.
If you're a quarter millimeter from Brad Pitt,
you
don't mention
fine.
Ugly in the same
God, you're a dog. Get out of my bed.
Ugly man's Brad
Take
Pitt.
Take your crackers with you.
All right, so he's like...
He's Scottie Pippen to Michael Jordan, you know? He's just,
That's hilarious.
So you're saying he's a good-looking man and he's just no Brad Pitt.
He's good-looking, but he'll never Anyone be Brad Pitt. And it's like he'll always be second. Oh. He'll always be... Poor guy. He's an ugly man's Brad Pitt.
I guess we're not going to get an interview with him.
He's Thanks, not going to be mad.
I'll just.
He'll probably he'll be like,
I'll
all
ask
right,
politely.
Fine.
I said you were. I put Brad Pitt in the same sentence.
I was going to ask him about his Xena days. Come on.
Yeah.
Come anyway, on. Cute movie. Rent it.
Okay.
I would also say rental for Paranormal 2. I don't know if you guys are interested.
Oh, really? Worth rental?
Yeah, because I loved the first one. So I went in with really high expectations. And, you know, it's a renter for okay. sure.
Are they going to do the Saw thing for the next 9 years? Does
they,
it look like it?
Well, seeing how much money it made, yeah. I mean, okay. they'd be stupid not okay. to. But it's interesting because you figure they've got to add
is it
to the
real,
story.
Is it like somehow. The Human Centipede at all?
Not at all. It's like Paranormal
it's a demonic
1,
version.
Actually.
I saw the first Saw. I haven't seen the other ones. But I was reading about them. And apparently what's absolutely fascinating about it is how all of them kind of – like most sequels don't connect.
Mm-hmm.
When they're horror films. But these have like these kind of weird connections and they'll set something up in the first film that won't pay off until the fourth film and the third film that'll pay off. And, I mean, it's like really bizarre.
Oh.
What movies are these?
Yeah,
Saws.
Yeah, you'll see little things in the background of
Saw
one movie that pay off in another movie. It's like for the people who are really into it.
They said this is the final one, right?
That's what they're
saying. Yeah, my ass. Yeah, I mean, even if it is for now, 10 years from now,
when there's
come
a,
back,
when there's
and
a
it'll
fourth
be Saw
dimension.
Versus Jason versus...
Anybody see The Social Network?
Oh, yeah.
Nope.
Oh, you...
No.
What is
have,
wrong with you?
No.
It is supposed to be one
I hear it's great. I hear
you,
it's great.
None of you have seen this movie.
I have twins.
I have zero
You guys are crazy. You
I'm
going to...
Trust me,
go
I'm going to rent it.
First of all, it has nothing to do with Facebook. So if Facebook is at all
influencing It's a Mark Zuckerberg.
You,
it has to do with Mark Zuckerberg.
But no, it has nothing to do with Mark Zuckerberg. It's a work of pure and utter fiction. It's like saying Citizen Kane is about Hearst. It's not. It's like a fictionalized version. That's what this is. And I can't believe it's so misrepresented because it's a great,
I have not heard any anybody say that has nothing to do with Mark Zuckerberg or Facebook. It is billed as number one.
If you look at Mark Zuckerberg's real life, it has absolutely nothing to do with this movie. The whole premise of this movie is on a very human thing. I'm not going to give it away, but it's basically the first scene in the movie. And none of that happened in real life. And so it's about human motivation.
Well, they have marketed it wrong because I have zero.
You guys are crazy. Okay, now,
I heard it was also brutally misogynistic.
I really want to see it. No, it's not. And okay. And again, like as a woman who saw it, you know, there's
Lisa
like
hates women.
That's what I'm asking.
She's the most misogynistic person I know.
She is.
Please, chicks, man.
She's like, I love misogyny. I love misogyny. misogyny
is
great.
Sexist? What's wrong with being sexy?
Spinal tap.
Please go see this movie. It's like the best movie of the year. Aaron Sorkin wrote it, and it's beautifully written.
Aaron Sorkin is.
I heard it was really good.
But I didn't find out Aaron Sorkin wrote it until after it was almost out.
And it's unmistakably Aaron Sorkin.
Are people just walking down hallways really fast?
You're talking really, really clever. A lot of clever talking.
Incredibly fast dialogue. It's true. But it's so good. I can't wait for you guys to see it.
I really want to see Aaron Sorkin and Joss Whedon work on a script together one day.
Oh, man.
Just really
the patter speak.
It would be just, it would just all be the ladies.
Two people sitting in a room just cleverly
speaking. It would be a musical. It would be a musical in patter speak. It would sound like a modern Major General.
Maybe, Joss Whedon can convince Aaron Sorkin to do West Wing the musical.
West Wing, there you go. All
right. That's funny.
I'd buy it.
I'd see it.
What else we got?
I'd see it.
Well, Aaron, you got your list.
Movie wise,
a lot of movies have kind of blurred by this year. Like,
I felt like they didn't get the geek this year.
By the way, did you guys see the remake of
Frickin'
the right,
Salt?
I
have not.
It's supposed to be great. I know.
It's supposed to be fantastic. I liked the trailer.
It's supposed to be great. It's supposed to be closer to the book.
Yeah, we talked about it from Comic-Con, and the scenes I saw were so masterfully directed. I was really into
it. I feel like I let the geek world down. I really wanted to go see this movie, and I just could not get to it. And it left my favorite theater and was in this shit theater here. I mean, it was in and out kind of fast,
too.
Really. Here.
It's because I saw the previous version was so fresh in my mind, it was hard for me to go.
We've been one geek down on this. With my twins.
Yeah.
It's been two geeks down, actually.
Four
geeks down. We got a lot of people working on stuff right now.
Yeah. Well, what can you do?
Exactly.
All right.
Shall we move on to video games?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Can we do this fast?
Probably not.
Okay, we'll try.
Kinect?
Oh, yeah.
We played it last night.
Good, bad, ugly.
What was the name of the dancing game?
So Kinect is the new Microsoft like
Project
Wii,
Natal, yada, yada.
They're Wii. It's a camera you put in front of your TV. It's got a little motor on it.
A camera that moves. That's kind of freaky.
You got the workout.
I got the workout one.
All right.
And I got
Are you worked out?
I did it. For someone who hasn't moved in a year and a half, it's going to be a workout. I'm going to try to stick with this to test it. I don't know.
You do that for 90 days. I'll do P90X for 90 days.
Wow. I think P90X is going to win that.
I think it's probably. Jeez. But that's what I'm wondering. Will it ramp?
Okay.
Like for a bunch of couch potatoes, are we all going to go, oh, awesome? Or like is it really going to ramp up?
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good question because, you know, I play all the workout games and I did the EA Active and I got.
Is that why you're so?
Well.
Shiny.
Bam. Bam.
Let's
that
just
happens.
Say, then I started working on the pilot and all that went away. But it didn't ramp. Like at a certain point, it was like
on
too easy.
On this
one? Then I started to go
on
to
the
something.
Kinect one?
No. This is the EA Sports Active, which, by the way, they're coming out with a new one for Kinect that comes with a heart monitor.
Yeah.
So they can tell if you're cheating.
Well, the great thing about this, the workout thing, it's called Your Fitness by Ubisoft. The great thing about this is you cannot cheat either.
Hmm. Yeah, you
can't. I just kind of went through it real quickly yesterday. They have classes, they have like personal trainer, and then they have little mini games. So I just went on I did a quick yoga one. It will tell you if you are not posed correctly. And it has a little sensors that show your arm needs to be bent more. And then they had a boxing workout where you're doing like lunges and type of thing. And he's like, nope, lower. You got to go lower. Got to go. And it's like, you could not cheat. Like my legs were burning because I had to squat lower. And then they have these mini games where they have like these virtual cubes in front of you and you have to punch, cross punch, and blow up the cubes and then kick. And it's fun. Like it's pretty fun. And it tells you exactly like you know, I was like, you just burnt 8 calories. I'm like, what? 10 minutes? I freaking only burnt 8 calories. What
I know, it's going cruel. You're like, it's I'm cruel. Done, and that's all.
Really?
Yeah.
That's actually a lie.
Well, I guess it depends on you.
It's better if it underestimates.
Yeah, better if it underestimates.
Than
so.
Over. But yeah, I did the cardio one, and it will tell you if you're out of rhythm with the trainer. And I was like, I have to do that too?
On a side note, at the gym, they have 3 different kinds of elliptical machines. I always use the one that tells me I've burned over 500 calories after 45 minutes.
I like that one.
The other one tells me I've done like 350. I don't like that one. It lies. No, it lies.
It can't be right. It can't be right.
Then the other one, I got a one called Electronic Art Sports, I think is what it is. Anyway, it's...
You really went
like
in here.
It's like a bunch of mini games, and okay. It feels like demos. But some of them are fun. They have a downhill skiing where you actually have to lean and you crouch to go faster and you're going downhill. And it has hang gliding where you're like, you move just like a hang glider and it totally...
How is hang...
I don't know. You're doing anything. But you know, and it's okay. It's fine. But the technology works. But the killer app of Kinect right now is from the makers of Rock Band, Harmonix. Is Dance Central. It is essentially Rock Band for dancing.
Okay.
And they have like 45 different tracks. They have.
I'm waiting for the 8 million one YouTube videos. And so. Dancing to this.
Scaling difficulty,
easy to hard, and it does get difficult. And you put it on a song, you can have a breakdown mode where it will teach you the steps. And they have these little like flashcards that come up and they say, do the torch. And they'll be like, you know, do that.
The fist pump in the
do
air.
Do fist pump, okay. Now do the sidestep. So you sidestep, side. And it teaches you what each of the flashcards means, okay. And it teaches you, you know, depending on easy moves. Then it says, all right, you ready to perform? And then you hit the song, and the flashcards come up, and you just follow along. And it tells you if you're doing it, if you don't do it right, it will tell you.
Huh.
And it's cool because the next flashcard you can see coming
up. You always
up.
See the next ones coming up. So you're ready. So you start doing these dance routines. But the fun part that we played last night is you could do a dance off with other people, and you challenge somebody, and you go back and forth.
Just make sure you're always player two because you get to see the other person do all the moves
right.
first.
Yeah. But so you did first.
Incidentally, you haven't lived until you've seen Aaron do the Lady Gaga video moves.
By the way, I was whooping some ass.
He did.
Last night. I was killing.
He did.
Even the gals there, they would like practice up, and I'd watch. I was only watching their practicing, and I'd get up and I would whip them. I had the moves last night. Bring It On 4, starring Aaron Hendricks.
Bring It On. Bring
you were stomping
on.
The yard.
Exactly. On with 4 ends. I'm glad you were stomping the yard. That's
but,
awesome.
So Clint was over there, okay. And I said, let's play Rock Band, or it was like Plastic Toy Party. I was going to say, and that sounds naughtier than
yeah,
it actually
so like, huh?
I was going to say, we're going to bring out the new Rock Band 3 keyboards, all that. We're going to be playing. And so he wanted to do that. And we played for a while. I said, let's do Dance Central. He's like, oh, God, I saw you guys playing it early. It's so silly. I'm not going to do that stuff. You look like an ass. So
this is the guy
we started playing.
He's a capoeirista, right?
Yeah.
So we start playing, and he's, like, watching. And then he starts practicing on the side.
Uh-huh.
And he's like,
see what happens?
And then he's, like, doing dance-offs and all that.
He was getting down.
He was totally.
Man.
And finally,
I
he,
love it.
So even
it
someone who was, like, not going to do this.
The funny part is, like, you know, he strikes me as so shy about that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but you
totally
can see the capoeira
dance,
stuff in there.
Yeah.
Boy can bust a move.
Yeah. Wow. So he's doing fine. Yeah.
I think Dance Central can suck anybody in because the levels of difficulty are so varied that
well, we,
it looks
at
doable.
First we thought that we were going through break it down mode where it teaches you every single time. But what we found out is if you play on an easy, you can just
jump in.
Just catch up.
Yeah.
But you know what? You can do that on medium too. You really can.
Yeah,
well, maybe.
But you just won't
you
get an
can.
Enormous high score.
Some of that, yeah, you
won't. I did. I jumped in on medium, wow. And I did fine.
But some of those moves were pretty crazy.
Yeah,
they
get into some cool hip-hop moves when you get in.
Anyway, I think it's the killer app. In fact, Muchin was like, today she's going to go buy the whole system just for that game.
Wow.
She's going to spend $140 on Kinect and the $60 on the game. She liked that
you
much.
Know, it's a good workout.
Honestly, really yeah, I was asking Aaron before, can I come over to your place a couple times a week and just play on that for an hour?
Well, they also have workout. Like they also have a workout mode on the Dance Central, so you can actually – they'll just string – I think they string the songs together and you just kind of, you know – it's pretty damn fun, I have to say.
It's fun, and it's good about knowing if you do it wrong. Like, it's I thought it was pretty good about sensing your movements.
Yeah, I thought
do you have to take down your Wii controller sensor in order to put the Kinect on?
I just shoved it in the back.
Who plays that anymore, please?
All
right. Rock Band 3. Has anybody gotten on Rock Band 3?
Nope. I've been playing nothing but Halo Reach.
Rock Band 3 is fun.
It's
keyboards
great.
Are
hard.
Hard but fun. You but feel hard. Like you're playing.
Yeah.
Are they actual keyboards?
Okay, yeah, so it's actual keyboard. Here's
it's like the old MIDI boards you had when you were a kid.
Okay. Yeah, a little half, little quarter keyboard or whatever. Okay, but here's the thing.
You
I think
play
I mentioned
piano on one of those things.
I think I mentioned this last time. There is the Rock Band way of playing where you put five fingers on five keys and you just move your fingers back and forth.
Right.
You do not feel like you're playing a keyboard. You feel like you're playing some stupid-ass game.
Or right. playing just guitar practice. It's just
like,
the same.
It's not good. Now, if you play in the pro mode, you have to hit the right keys. Right. And you can play that on easy, so you're only playing like one every tenth note.
Right.
No chords. And that's still fun. So, but it's hard.
Okay.
So that one you're feeling like you're playing the keyboard because you're like searching. You know,
is this Rock Band 3, is this the one where they're going to scale it and they're actually going to have guitars that that are real?
So all the instruments have a pro mode, which means you will actually be able to play the real
version. How much
does
one of these instruments run?
Well, the keyboard with the game is like $80 or something like that. Okay. Or 60-something bucks. So that's keyboard and Rock Band 3.
And then your drums are like $100.
For $80.
Okay.
So $60 game or I don't know. It's something around.
What about the guitar?
The guitar is
the real guitar
one is super expensive.
It's going to be $250. It comes out next year.
Okay.
It's got like hundreds of buttons.
No. Real guitar.
Oh. What this about one's the one that's all
there's
buttons?
There's a in-between guitar, mm-hmm. which has 100-something buttons that represent each one of the strings.
Right.
But what I've heard is, if you're gonna skip, just go to the real guitar because it's hard anyway.
And
just
you
play
need
it.
Strings. I think strings make a big
difference.
Well,
it has strings down here on the strumming part.
Huh.
But here you need strings.
But the pro drums have three cymbals, and that's fun as hell
it's
because it
really
feels
fun.
Like you're now playing the
drums.
Yeah.
Well, the drums were the ones that were the most accurate last time.
It was the most accurate last time, but now, like, instead of the drum pad changing from a drum to a cymbal on the fly, you have to go, cymbal. So it's like adding three more tracks.
Oh, okay.
Four color pads and then three color.
If they can figure out how to do this in other forms of education, it's going to revolutionize things. Because the fact that you can now teach somebody the guitar
brain surgery
in this
pro.
Method. Yeah, exactly. Brain surgery.
You know, if you
play that expert, mini game.
If you play this on expert, you're actually doing brain surgery.
Hold still.
Yeah, hold still.
Dad's got a lisp.
Anyway, right. those games are pretty fun.
I have been playing StarCraft Eidos.
Oh, me too.
So you have
yeah, I have. The only issue is, and this hasn't happened in a long time, Donald will appreciate this. I'm going to have to upgrade my computer.
Oh, I had to buy a whole new computer. I didn't even have a prayer.
Going to have to.
You have to, and it's worth it, can I just say, having bought the new computer, once I
go
start it back
Mac.
Up again,
it
looks so good.
I might have to buy a Mac.
You can play
but
it on a
you'd
Mac.
Never be able to play anything again.
No, you can play StarCraft on it.
The way it was meant to be.
You can put Windows on it.
Yeah,
buy a good Mac laptop. And help us write.
Yeah, that might be what I have to do.
Because
just I have a Pentium 4, and it's funny because I would call people up and ask them about upgrading my motherboard and stuff like that, and I got a lot of no.
Yeah, people
don't
do that. Anymore.
No, they don't do. No. You're not going to
buy
buying a new computer was not expensive, and I got I tried to find the one that was as StarCraft perfect as I could.
I found this new motherboard that has an 8-core processor with reverse hyper-threading.
Whoa,
and I was
you don't need that.
I was like, that is amazing. But I mean, that is like...
With reverse hyper-threading?
Reverse hyper-threading. Basically means that
you can go back and play StarCraft 1.
No. It means that basically the computer will assign individual processors individual tasks. And you have basically 8 computers working at once on either any one task or 8 different tasks.
By Mac.
All that. It's amazing.
I'm really enjoying my new StarCraft dispenser because that's all it is.
It's a lot of money for one game.
Lot of money. It's true, but it was definitely worth it.
It's an amazing game.
But I have to tell you what I did. I don't know if this will happen to you. I got maybe eight missions in, mm-hmm. and I realized I wanted to play StarCraft 1 again. Because I sort of was like, oh, I forgot the story, and maybe I'll just dabble in it. And now I've replayed almost all of StarCraft
1. I
Would
did
you
not.
Go play Mass Effect, please, and stop doing this crap?
That's next.
Oh,
what,
please.
Crap?
StarCraft
Hello?
1.
Actually, I think, I got to be honest, I think StarCraft was better than Mass Effect.
Yes.
Yeah, but she's played StarCraft 1.
I know, but it never gets old.
It's still
like
better.
Replaying chess again.
It's like reading your favorite book instead of reading the crappy book.
StarCraft is one of those perfect games.
It's perfect, and I can't wait to come back to 2.
You never played it. You don't know.
I played StarCraft. I just,
what's weird, you played one level.
Why would you
like
have
done.
To wait so long to put out the sequel to that game? I mean, it's like,
it is,
you know,
yeah, it's the same game.
It is the same game. But I will say, and you know this, they put a lot of work into the single player campaign because the missions are way more varied. Now that I've played StarCraft 1
Well, it
1
felt
again.
A lot like Warcraft 3, which still made me go, why did it take so long to get this game out?
It's because they're making too much money off of
World of Warcraft. Yeah.
They're like, we'll get to it.
They
whatever.
Had to put out another StarCraft game before they can put out World of StarCraft.
Exactly.
Well, remember, they tried to put out another
if they put
StarCraft
out World
game,
of StarCraft,
they tried to put out
Ghosts.
And that didn't go.
But that's what I've been playing. And Halo Reach.
Yeah,
we have a few people
that.
On Halo Reach.
We play them.
You've
Mondays.
Been Mr. Lego building set on Halo Reach.
I love your maps.
Your maps are always fun.
I tried to make one that actually is. I may name it the Dawn.
The vomit?
If I get it, it's specifically made to make people vomit when when they're playing
that's
the game.
Awesome.
It basically, I started off with an uneven terrain, and then built a box. On its point on this game. And then basically any time I had a straight line, I tried to make it curved so that you're basically constantly screwing with people's perceptions of where the horizon line is.
Awesome.
And
I actually the vomitorium.
I was making it for about 5-10 minutes, and then I had to go look away from the TV for a little while. I was like, wow, I succeeded.
Taste of your own medicine.
People are making some fun maps. I downloaded it. Was more for show, but we played for about 5 minutes on it. The sinking of the Titanic.
Oh,
cool.
That's cool.
Huge Titanic sinking, and you spawn up to where Jack and Kate are at the top, and you can
fall. Can you say, I'm king
Wait
of the world?
Wait a second.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wow.
Peter, you love Titanic. Your favorite movie ever.
People are not going to forget
that. No, it's not. It's not. It's Rose.
Rose.
Oh, Rose. Okay,
Jack and Rose.
You're safe. Yeah.
Oh,
it was played by Kate.
It was played by Kate.
Right. but can I bring up one? This is going to sound funny. There's a Pinball FX2 is out. It's freaking awesome.
Yeah, I've been playing it under the name Zen Pinball on PS3. It's the exact same same tables.
Bummer. I wish you had gotten
it. It's
all
right. I will get it because I've been playing it forever.
The
I love
leaderboards.
Those games.
I'm battling. Okay. There's a guy who listens to our show. I'm not going to say his screen name so he doesn't get, friends he doesn't want. So he's the only person who has showed up who had bought the game. So I was like, so I beat a couple. I got higher score. It ranks him. It's just like old school pinball where you can see. So I send him this taunting of like, I just beat you and blah, blah. So he decided to get on and play, I guess, all day and all night, every single table, and made sure that he – and some of those scores are high. I don't know how I'm going
to
beat
them. Now you have to, though.
Now I got to go in
it's
and
like
go
Geometry
play.
It's like Geometry Wars. I would play that thing forever just to beat people's scores.
So the new Pinball 2 has these new boards that are not real tables. So they're – they go beyond what a real table can do, and it's way more fun than trying to recreate the old pinball machines. So if you buy it, make sure you buy the new tables and not the classic. The classic ones are okay because the first one game was pretty good, but the new tables are great.
Well, should we move on to some mail?
Yes, we
should
definitely.
Okay, we should definitely move on to some mail. We're going to basically do this by episode, moving back in time from where it is. And here we go. This is from our Geeks on Gays episode. Hey, Don, I have no idea what to say in this email, but I know I needed to reach out to you. I guess I wanted to thank you for episode 130. Completely and utterly agree with you when you said you used to seek out gay role models or look too deep in the hope of a gay storyline. I guess we just needed acknowledgement, and that was okay for us to be the way we are. Although I grew up in the 90s where it would seem as more acceptable, we still have almost no presence in mainstream culture. When I did find it, like you said about Logan's Run, it was never in a light that would make me feel better.
I found out Felix Gaeta was gay, but it had to be kept secret from us. I knew that the producers were sending the message, it's not really important, so we didn't feel the need to show it. The cynical side of me feels they were hiding it, though. There are many occasions where they could have shown Gaeta's desperation of the occupation by seeing him seeking a pity frack. Which is my new favorite term, or kissing a man in a moment of victory. That never happened. And I think most of us gay geeklings knew you were gay, but you kept it a secret when there were many places you could have dropped it in. I'm so happy you finally told us unashamedly. I've listened to you very infrequently for years now, and it's always made me feel less lonely knowing there's a gay geek out there like me, even though I'll likely never meet you. With a tongue and a smiley face with the tongue out. This is a very downer email. I'm sorry if my first contact with you has been so negative. I'm ridiculously happy that you're healthy these days. Shame.
Yeah, why so down? Sheesh. Yeah.
I don't think that was
for
I don't think it was.
Yeah. It was serious.
It was sort of a serious episode.
Yeah, it was a very serious episode.
And good points about Gaeta,
yeah.
I thought.
Yeah.
I mean, he could totally have gone for a pity frack. Best term.
All my emails all my emails were talking about the beaver line. They weren't
yeah, not so much.
I gotta say, I've got more email from that past episode, like via Facebook, via email, than like a very long time.
Yeah.
And I will answer them all, I promise. I just, it's a lot of email. So, yeah. And most of it very touching. So, thank you, everybody.
Okay. Hi, I'm Daniel Woods, 21, a chef in cold England, and I'm a geek.
Hi.
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 Hi, Daniel.
I'm not, however, gay, nor am I someone who regularly writes into anything, but show 130 particularly moved me. I had no idea you were gay. I was surprised, yes, but after the first second of, oh, okay then, it wasn't a big deal. What did shock me is that you felt like you were letting your side down, as if it were for not being more open about that. That, I think, seems wrong. I'm not particularly a longtime fan. I've only been a fan for about a year now. I saw no clues that you were gay, but I also saw a few clues that any of the other cast were straight.
Well, his microphone is pink.
It's true.
It's true. Well, rainbow colored, actually.
My point is, you were you.
Wait, he didn't know that we were necessarily straight.
Yeah, exactly.
They could all be gay.
What, man? Come on.
That being said, I highly respect you for hosting this episode the way you did and made me a little ashamed of myself and all geekkind for its lack of vision in what is supposed to be one of the most open-minded communities. I sadly have seen geeks who have become the neo-bullies of today.
It's true.
Really?
No, come on. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, That's so sad.
Cyberbullying? Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. And all that from people who are the targets of such horrific treatment. It simply makes me sad. But...
So you put a little,
little smiley face with the tongue out?
But, and it's a large foreman, but... I'm not, okay.
Well, we're four men, and you're with me on the four.
I'm
okay.
With you.
Yeah. I got the joke.
There are shows like Geeks On that can help open some eyes, spread some words, and be grown up occasionally about subjects that need to be discussed. After a show like this, it's an honor and a pleasure to be a geekling, forever a fanboy. Aww. Daniel, that's so
Daniel.
Nice.
That's so sweet.
We need to do a really, really, since that's such kind of like a deep adult show, we need to just something like...
We'll do an official NPR episode. Today, we will be discussing the writing habits of the meta writer who writes about science fiction writers.
Okay.
Let us begin.
So moving into our Geeks on Bullying episode. Hi, Don. Everybody wants to talk to freaking Don.
Yeah.
Firstly, I'm a big fan of yourself and the show. I was internet light for a while, but I was able to start downloading anything of significant size. Australian internet really limits what you can download and at what cost. One of the things I did was download a bunch of past Geeks On episodes. And it was great, so thanks for that. And thanks in particular for the relatively recent podcast on bullying. As a high school teacher and former bullied school kid, that ep really spoke to me. Nowadays, I try to be as vigilant as possible in the classroom, looking for bullies and the bullied, and if it's a consolation or perhaps just something of an explanation for me for the actions of teachers, it's kind of hard to spot bullying. Hmm. Kids are good at hiding it from adults, and believe me, my shenanigans radar is pretty good. Shenanigans.
I believe that.
Mm-hmm. Also, just from my own POV, thanks for the Comic-Con episode. I love listening to those every year and hope one of these days I can get over to the U.S. and actually attend one rather than just live vicariously through you guys.
We do too. Come visit.
Come and visit.
By the way, tickets were supposed to go on sale like last week and there was a failure in the website buying tickets. So it's going to come up again here very soon. So anybody who needs to buy tickets for Comic-Con, remember you have to buy it now.
Get on it.
Because they will be sold out. All right. Sorry.
So he says, rather than just live vicariously through you guys, although as a substitute it's not too bad, it's like having four experts do all the heavy lifting for you and then recounting the best parts. Wrapping up, thanks again for the continued excellence. I love the show and look forward to your next one. All the best, Scott, Melbourne, Australia.
Thank you, Scott.
Cool.
I love the fact that we have so many Australian listeners. I got
We have a lot of emails.
And from England, last one. That was great.
Geeks on David Brin.
Yeah.
Hey guys, long time listener. Your podcast is the best of all of them, for the simple reason that when I listen to you while running on a treadmill, I have to get off sometimes at least, sometimes less I hurt myself, because sometimes saying things that make me laugh so hard that I might fall off and get hurt. So it means something when I say that your last episode with David Brin was by far the best episode ever. That man should be president. Huh. Please drag him back kicking and screaming if you have to. It's a shame he doesn't have his
Josh own... is totally screaming right now off in podcast
It's a
land.
Shame that he doesn't have his own podcast. You should encourage him to do so. I've seen a few YouTube episodes of him, but can't listen to those while on the go. Geek onwards, Kieran from Bisborne. Hey, we got all sorts of Australia.
Geeks On is not responsible for any injuries incurred while listening to Geeks On. Hey, geeks. Listen to your awesome David Brin episode. It was artfully done, and you are good facilitators. Light touch, you know? I will tune in again. I noticed / appreciated your talking on the Uplift universe and how Avatar has somewhat paved the way technically for the Uplift movies to be more possible.
Hopefully.
I have been a rabid proponent of the movie idea for a while, say since reading the first trilogy. David was gracious enough to let me design the official logos for the Galactic Institutes and the Earth Clan organizations as well.
Nice.
I've put them on shirts and other swag on my cafe press shop. I really like the designs in your shop, by the way, especially your own personal comic art image shirts.
We haven't updated our shop and
we really probably should do that.
God knows how long.
I ran it by David today and he agreed that you guys might be interested in the Uplift designs. I thought you may even be big enough Uplift fans to link to the shop to your site. Which we will.
Okay.
To be clear, I make a $5 commission on each sale in my shop, and Cafe Press has an affiliate program that will let you share.
Let us share that?
That's technical stuff.
Yeah.
But my main focus in creating these designs is to increase awareness of the Uplift stories and to help push for the movies. That and have my own cool Uplift shirts, of course. Here's the link, and there's a link. If for any reason you can't or aren't interested in the linking, no worries. Love the show. Look forward to future episodes. Keep your geek on. Peace, Frank. Thanks, Frank. We will put up a link to those awesome Uplift shirts.
You want to see them.
They are neat. They are
cool.
Neat.
Geeks on Iron Man 2 and Lost. Geek Lords. Oh, that's pretty cool sounding. Geek Lord. Just listening eagerly to your Iron Man 2 / Lost episode. I agree on the whole emotionally satisfying / intellectually non-satisfying angle of the Lost finale. I
think absolutely.
I think the article you were referring to by one of your former writers of the show was found... somebody's bad robot take on the finale. Anyway, there's a link here. What he's referring to as far as writing the finale from the beginning was the final chapel scene, not the entire 2.5-hour show. I still tend to doubt his claim, since a few characters who weren't in season one were even the final chapel scene, but I could still imagine them doing it in some sort of form. Even better is the British kid named Alex, who does a short video explaining Lost's story in 3 minutes. Be sure to check out Alex Reed's Twilight videos, too. Freaking hilarious. Almost akin to the Red Letter Media reviews of Star Wars prequels. Presently, literally, a Lost story sounds really grand and epic. Told piecemeal the way it was, I sometimes forget week to week what the stakes were. But I still love the finale because it made me feel all warm and fuzzy. Your faithful geekling, David.
This is also on the same. Hey guys, can't remember who it was that was talking about the Torchwood Children of the Earth a while back, but I finally got all caught up on the show and finished watching it. All I have to say is, oh my god, thanks so much for recommending that one, so it'll become time to force my wife to watch them all. Keep up the great podcast, Mike. I think it was Don who told him to watch Torchwood. I still am not seen it, so...
It's really, really a good series. I think Lisa's watched it all now.
No, Carolyn has. Okay. Yeah, she has. And she said she was really surprised at the directions it went.
Yeah, that final season, it was very light, family, sort of family. Not really family.
And
I guess not family.
It took
but
a turn. Right?
Yeah, and then it got really dark in the last one.
Someone sent me the scene, I think it's from Torchwood, where the two guys show up at the bar to like kick each other's ass, and they start making out and then kick each other's ass.
Yeah.
Well, like, what?
Yeah, it was Spike from Buffy.
You made out with Spike from Buffy? And then
Spike from Buffy and Captain Jack making out.
Love it.
Yeah, so they walk up in the bar. They look like they're about ready to kill each other. They like made out, and then they start fighting. That's awesome. Like a big battle. It's
I still have the poster where Angel's face and Spike's face are like this, and their mouths are kind of touching. And mouths are touching. I love that. My favorite.
And the slash fiction was born.
Hey, interesting discussion regarding Lost and serial television. One show that you seem to have overlooked regarding the five-year plan thing is Supernatural. Oh, my sister loves Supernatural. The show's creator had clearly mapped it out from the start with a well-thought-out beginning, middle, and end. Even more goosebump-invoking was the fact that the first season had its story arc and its big bad, the second, another distinct storyline and a different big bad, and then at the end of the third, you find out the two were actually intertwined all along.
Ooh.
The only failing to the show was the tacked-on coda to the end of the climactic fifth so they could run it for longer. Sans the original show creator. Oh, I didn't know that. I believe the actor signed to six-year contracts. Cheers, Jace, a.k.a. The Conundrum, another Melbourne, Australia. Yeah, my sister really likes Supernatural.
I know a fair number of people who really do, but I just wasn't
like
able to catch
me. WB, like,
CW.
Or CW thing, like, that's why it was an instant kind of knee-jerk reaction, like, just, ugh.
But it really has
maybe
been
it's
on.
Good.
This season, apparently, it's doing really well. Like, the show keeps going.
Actually, it had some really good ideas in it. The first episode wasn't so good, so I didn't continue to watch it. But
oh, yeah. She said in the first season, they're finding their feet, and they're trying to do, like, a different haunted story of the week.
Yeah.
So, but they eventually, she said, found it. And she told me the episodes to avoid.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So, Geeks on CES.
CES, yeah. He wrote us an incredibly long email describing this role-playing game, and it's far too much to read on the air. But
very beginning.
The beginning. He'll
another Australian. My God. This is our Australian episode.
Yeah, really?
Good day, mates.
That's weird.
Can anyone here do a decent Australian accent?
No. Well, yes, but no, I'm not going to do it.
G'day.
Strong.
Put another shrimp on the barbie.
And all the Australian listeners just
No more emails from Australia.
What is that?
We haven't insulted Australia yet, so I guess we're on target. All right. Hey, Don, Matt, Aaron, and Pete. I'm a longtime Australian fan of Geeks On, and, well, as you figure by the timing of this email, I just listened to your RPG CES episode, and while doing so, I thought of something you might enjoy. Being the role-play more than the combat sort of players, I was surprised you didn't mention the system The Burning Wheel by Luke Crane.
Very popular indie role-playing game.
Yeah.
It's a dice pool-style role-play system, but it's unique in that it, A, has no standard setting, though fantasy is implied, it's easily adapted for any setting you like, and B, the game is driven entirely by the characters, and the GM being more of a supervisor than a direct D&D GM. That sounds interesting.
Goes into the whole explanation.
You own this, don't you?
I do own this. This is the one that has the combat system for, like, conversations. So if you want to, like have a sparring match conversationally with another character, there's a combat system for that.
Huh.
That's actually one thing I really like about the Game of Thrones role-playing game that I'm playing right now.
Mm-hmm.
They also have a conversation combat system.
That's interesting.
And the way characters are sort of geared, like, you know, my character can cut its way through an army, get up to you, and then you can talk me out of killing you. You know?
Wow.
It's very interesting. Yeah. It makes for interesting stories.
Huh. Yeah, interesting.
Okay. Geeks on 120. Hey guys, just an FYI, Aaron is correct. The ending of The Watchmen sucks. More apologetics aside, it sucks, it sucks, it sucks. Both the movie and the book. In fact, despite the whole comic historical significance aspect, the whole damn book sucks.
Tell us how you really feel.
I've gotten more than
I'm surprised Lisa isn't up in arms. Like, she's
sharpening her knife.
She's restraining herself. She's got her hand over her mouth, desperately trying not to scream. I've gotten more than my share of grief over the years for holding such a blasphemous opinion, God forbid, and I've endured countless impassioned, i.e. nearly hysterical lectures that rival evangelical Christian fanaticism explaining how wrong I am, and I just don't get it. I'd like to personally thank Aaron for expressing his dissent in the face of geekling outrage. He speaks for more than a few of us. So, Aaron, keep up the good work. Stay shady from NorCal. P.S. I am forever in his debt for his declaration that the fifth element also sucks. I hate that movie with a passion. With a passion. No one understands me, but if I were ever in a position of holding end-of-the-world state secrets and the fate of all humanity rested in my hands, all they, the imaginary treacherous villains in this scenario, would have to do is put the fifth element on and you would be doomed. Doomed, I say, because I would start talking immediately and make it stop. So again, all my gratitude to Aaron, king of geek descent.
You're welcome.
Your majesty.
I'm just keeping it real.
Aw, you haters.
I'm keeping it real.
The next time she writes in, you must end your letter with, bullshit, that's bullshit.
All right, this one's Geeks on Goblins, when we interviewed Terrell Hunt.
We're going deep cuts.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Terrell's amazing, and the fact that when we interviewed him, we had a drunk woman, you know, invade.
Yes. Everybody thought was with somebody else in the room.
Yeah. Terrell, I've now.
No one knew her.
You can talk to Terrell online at all times if you go to his Goblins website, because he has a live
cam. He works all day on it.
And he still he loves the fact that that makes a great interview. But in that vein of the very weird things happening on Terrell's episodes, I will have to read this with the accent, and you'll understand why in a second. Guten Tag, old beans. Must compliment you heavily upon your recent Goblins interview episode, My Old Tureen Spoons. Reading as I do all of the webcomics on your linked list before I found your marvelous podular cast accepting Goblins, I have cheerfully added the latter to my reading list due to your wonderful interview. Listening to your potting cast for the past couple of years, my old silver teapots, but still getting through the backlist of episodes, must say, what primarily attracted me to your podly cast was the professional knowledge of the geekly industry, wedded to the nerdly enthusiasm in all that you talk about, my old deviant cables. A small correction, some episodes ago, Don, old boy, mentioned a pyramid in Bosnia just as a gossipy tidbit. The reference refers to the following, and he puts a wiki link. Osmanyenik is generally in the David Ick, Ryle Hubbard levels of the odd as concerns the academic archaeological community. A really minor point to pick upon, they're not even being vaguely pyramids, but really, it's a hard shot first, my old ventilator giraffes. Tally-ho, Lord Daftwadger.
Daftwadger.
Best fucking email ever.
Just the name Daftwadger. That's wonderful.
Yes.
I'm ripping off that name for something.
All right, we got to wrap this up.
116. Geeks on 116.
Geeks on 116, how far is too far? I remember that episode. I'm sure you're getting lots of emails about geekling too far episode, your debate on copyright. I was shocked to hear the assertion that the, quote, impossible to steal a book for the Kindle. Kindle supports a wide variety of digital formats, including the major non-DRM formats such as .txt and .rft. And .docs. That means I can steal a copy of a book that is in such a format and read it on my Kindle. Even the Kindle's specific DRM is not that strong. It's not impossible to strip out and thereby making it readable on other Kindles. If neither of these arguments convince you, I'll have you with this fairly strong piece of anecdotal evidence. I have about 500 titles on my Kindle and only 5 of them were purchased on Amazon.
Yeah, let's not read this person's name.
Well, okay. It's not even on here. We don't even know where it came from.
Yeah, well, that's
better.
He's confessing theft on our show.
We do not actually know where this came from. So, sorry, the police can interrogate us, but they will get
We don't know.
Name. That's funny.
All right, the last one down there, done.
All right. Okay, our last letter.
Isn't that funny? He confessed theft on our show.
This is just from our general email stack. Hello! I just wanted to take a moment of your time to congratulate you on a great job on 24.
Oh, thanks.
I'm a huge 24 fan. When I found out that you got a part on the show, I was excited. I also love Geeks On. It is the convergence of my two geek worlds. I know that Kiefer Sutherland is a huge chess fan. I know from listening to the podcast that you love chess. Were you lucky enough to get in a game with him?
I did. I played Kiefer a few times.
Yay.
And he never won. And maybe that's why
I died.
That's
why you died.
Good move, Matt.
Yeah, exactly.
Let the Wookiee win.
Exactly.
I've been listening to Geeks On for about 3 years now. I've listened to many episodes more than once. I have long concealed my geekiness, but your podcast has made me feel free to let my geek flag fly, which we can ask for nothing more, really. Since listening, I have explored my many new geek things and have found so many new things to love, from Blade Runner to RPGs to board games.
You didn't know Blade Runner before? Oh, well, you're welcome.
Yeah. To board games and even many fantasy sci-fi novels. I've experienced many new and amazing things that I normally wouldn't have if it wasn't for you four. I do have to say that while my inner geek thanks you much, my bank account hasn't been thrilled. Board games and RPG books can be expensive. Yes, they can.
We can hook you up with a dude who steals.
All kidding aside, you guys have an amazing show. Thank you so much for the hard work you put into it. Thanks for the hours and hours and hours of enjoyment you've given me. Most importantly, thanks for making me feel proud to be what I am, a geek. Josh.
Being a geek can be expensive.
It can.
Yes. But at least with a geek. I mean, come on. You know, this is somebody that said they should get a job like a drug addict. Because drugs are expensive, and somewhere the drug addicts are actually getting the money from somewhere.
I know. If all of us could just like pull down a shift or two a week at our local gaming store and get that big employee discount,
yeah,
we could save thousands of dollars.
I mean, at least as geeks with our addiction, we have something at the end of the week that we can, you know, go back to over and over and over again, even though we always need the next module.
Hey, I haven't had to buy a video game since I picked up Left 4 Dead 2. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah, but you're
sure.
Crazy.
I love it.
I noticed you love it.
Yeah. Actually, for me, it's a de-stressor.
Okay.
I felt the same way about fighting games. I haven't played a good fighting game, though, since Soul Calibur.
Soul Calibur 4.
Been a while.
It's been a game.
Been a while.
So that is it for our mailbag episode.
That was quite an episode, wasn't it? Not.
What are we up to?
Lord Daft Wadra says.
131.
131, wow.
Yeah. 130, yeah.
131.
Yeah.
I still think we should do an entire episode as Lord Daft
Wadra. As Lord Daft Wadra.
Everybody.
My little silver teeth.
Speak through clenched teeth the entire time.
I'm glad we could do a big catch-up episode. It was like 2 hours, but you know, we had a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
And
go on a long drive. Don't sit in your driveway.
Yeah.
Go inside.
We'll still be there. It's all good.
Exactly. So anything else before we close this down?
Nope.
Just make sure that if you want to get to us, you can go to our website.
Yep.
There's a forums there. You can.
What's that website, Aaron?
It's www.geekson.com. Yep. Or if you've been on the internet in a while, you can just go to geekson.com.
Yep.
Ooh. You can also email us, geeks@geekson.com, or Aaron,
Matt, Don, Peter, or Don, or Lisa. And now we also have josh@geekson.com
for any
questions for the calculator. And
Smarty Librarian
at geekson.com.
And then Kayla, who is our
moderator
on our forums, we have not given him a email address all this time, and that was a...
Kayla, we are sorry.
Yeah, well,
we owe you a mea culpa, man.
We owe you a beer.
That is true. It was a major oversight. Although the reason why I didn't originally is because in the forums, you can mail them within the forum.
Right.
And that's why it's just been convenient. I totally agree. So you can also, hopefully by this airs, kayless@geekson.com if you have forum
issues or signing up for the forum problems.
Yeah, because we do have a bunch of emails that come in that where people have had problems with our forums. Those in the future should be directed to Kayless, K-A-H-L-E-S-S.
Yeah, or if you know, you want to talk to him about how, you know, he's
actually a really cool guy.
He's been working it. So, anywho. Thank you, Kayless.
Thank you for all our extended Geeks on team as well. And thank you guys out there in podcast land for listening.
Yay! All right, everybody. Have a good geek week.
Rock it out.
Geek it out.
Bye, Kate.